Blog Talk Radio. everybody. How's it going? Hi, this is Psychic X Journeyman. Welcome to the show. This is Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. And I hope you're all doing good today because the idea of the situation has been kind of crazy. I'm in Two Springs with all the raining and flooding and that kind of stuff, and just really crazy. So we're going to try to get away from the ideal reality and actually go into something here and have a great time tonight. So therefore, if you want to call in and get a fantastic reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. If you also want to sit here and think about the idea, we do private readings. Trying to get that one up. So if you want to give me a call and get a private reading, which would actually be better for some of the situations that people are going through, especially when it comes to relationships and stuff like that, that'd be great. Just give us a call at 740-500-8863. Again, that number is 740-500-8863. We do all kinds of readings. We also do life coaching and relationship counseling and stuff like that too as well, healings. For example, we also do chakra clearing, chakra chanting. We have a tendency to do some past life regression sessions and the idea of helping people figure out some kind of connection to certain things they do, insecurities. Maybe you're scared of water and you can't figure out why. Could actually be traced back to a past life and the idea of figuring that whole thing out. So keep that in mind too as well. You can also contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And we also have a radio. Yes, of course we have a radio show. We also have a shop downtown Manitou Springs, Colorado at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. So come down and check us out. If you're walking by, say hi. Look at the situation. Come on down. We do all kinds of fantastic readings there too as well. So if you want to get a reading in person in the ideal situations, they are great experiences. And some people have been kind of freaked out with the ideal past life experiences and palm readings, thinking that they're going to come in and get a palm reading for like 5 or 10 minutes. No, they're a whole lot more than that. And that's the whole situation. You know what I'm saying? Some people freak out with the situation. And I just sit there and we try to put people to ease their mind the idea of what it's all about. Because these sessions and situations and that kind of stuff are in the idea of giving you the tools to actually change your life if you don't like the way it is. It's also the idea of helping you understand situations too as well. That's, you know, when you look at the situation of life itself, we're all looking for deeper insights and the idea of making better choices. And that's exactly what we do. We sit down with people, and some people are kind of scared of the situation. They all kind of look at the thing going, oh, I don't know if I want to get one of these things or not because I don't want to hear about, you know, certain things and that kind of stuff. But see, we have a tendency to look at the situation. Maybe we do see some negative things, but I guarantee you before the session's over with, we will give you some positive ways to change your future. And the great thing about it is you'll be doing it yourself, realizing you always have been. So therefore, you start looking at things differently. Instead of looking at the situation like there is no choice or you have no power, it actually empowers you before the session is over with to where you know exactly what to do. So keep that in mind as well. Also, if you're a person who likes to sit there and do fantastic readings and that kind of stuff and you want to come on the show sometime, feel free to do so. We would love to have you down. Always like to be on the phone number at 646-721-9031. Just call in. Or give me a call on my private line at 740-500-8863 if you would like to be a guest on our show. All right? So let's take a look at some other things, too. If you're a person that likes to do a lot of things in the process of changing your life and you're looking for books and that kind of thing to do, check out on Amazon.com. Go to the spiritual section. You might be surprised exactly what you're going to see. Because I was sitting there kind of amazed with some of the things I've got on there too as well. So just keep that in mind as well, okay? Let's sit here and take a look at the situation here. And for some reason, we're having a little technical issue here. I'm trying to figure out. Okay. All right, let's try it again. Okay,
oh
Heather, are you there?
I never thought I would be able to say hello. Oh, that was. Anyways, hello.
It's one of those situations. Say hello to Heather. She's a co-host here, so therefore we're all going to be having a good time. And she has a tendency to make it all that way anyway. She's going to giggle through even the bad times. And that's good.
That's right.
Always a positive way of looking at things, right? So how are you?
I'm good now that I can talk. I was having a bit of anxiety there for a minute. I can't believe that my heart is feeling like it's going to pound out of my chest. Isn't that silly? I was so excited to get on the show.
I see so. No, I was.
Anyway, it's a lovely
no,
night, and we are.
Go ahead, Heather.
Anyways,
since you haven't talked.
Okay. Thank you, because I have got to get this out. Anyways, just got down the stairs and out on Mountain Avenue, and it is actually pretty hopping for the time of night that it is here.
So you're up on the stairs? That's the stairway that goes up the middle right there? And
no, no, no. I just came down from my house.
Oh, okay. So you're out and about?
Yes, we are out and about.
Okay, so...
And I'm not alone. I am accompanied by my cousin, Hannah.
Well, we should all say hello, Hannah.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, we're doing good. So, you know, it's like she's bringing people with her to the show. That's kind of cool.
Yes, with me, you never know.
Yeah, I do. I'm a psychic,
that's
remember?
So fun.
Anyway.
I know. What is that noise
that
you make after every joke?
No, I'm just saying, you're out and about. It's not the ideal. Well, we was out before, but the last time we was out and about was actually a little later than usual. So, therefore, we're actually catching it at a good time right now where, you know, the restaurant, well, I think some of the restaurants are still going, and we always have the bars open.
Yeah. Pike Street Chocolate and Ice Cream is open. We just passed by them.
Mm-hmm.
And no,
yeah, guess,
you don't get to have any fudge.
That sucks.
Anyway. I know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I
gotta have
like
some fudge.
Person.
Well, it's one of those things that it's okay. So we look at the situation. Everything happens for a reason, so we should. That's why I'm actually inside and she's outside, because if I was outside, I have money in my pocket, so the fudge thing would have already happened.
I know. Well,
and we are taking calls. That's one thing I want to sit here and say. Usually on Thursday nights, we usually don't take callers, but since we wasn't here Tuesday, we're going to sit here and take the and Wednesday. So anybody wants to call in, please do so at 646-721-9031. And Heather, are you going to start doing your life coaching kind of thing that you can actually give them information, they can actually get a hold of you? Because you're actually really good at what you do.
Thank you. Would you like me to do that now? All right. Please call me.
That's
at 435.
That's why I let it do.
Thank you. 435-503-4577. Please call me and leave a message. You may also text me to set an appointment. And you can get a hold of me via email as well. It's heather.love.light@gmail.com. Anyway.
You have a website coming soon, right?
I do have a website coming soon.
Website
Heather's
coming
feeling
soon.
Light.
To a theater near you. Anyway.
Yeah.
No,
anyway,
go.
hold on. Girls,
things,
I'm
you know?
On the radio show. Say hello.
Hi!
Awesome. Thank you. Where are you from?
All over Minnesota.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, excellent. Welcome to Manitou.
Thank you.
Well,
so
have
you seen the girls with the purple t-shirts?
No.
There was a group
lot
of them there for a while.
Here.
Huh?
There's a lot of girls around here tonight. And then, and there's Stitch singing. Maybe
they
this was not a good idea
on?
For me to be out.
Are they doing anything down the stage or something? I could have sworn I heard someone singing a while ago. But that usually happens a lot in the streets. So.
Hold on just a second. Stitch, say hi. You're on the radio.
I am on the radio, and my name's Stitch.
He performs here in Manitou.
That doesn't sound right. Maybe you should explain that in more detail.
He sings. He's a performer. He sings. He's vocal. He's awesome.
Okay. It was kind of funny you put that. He performs the Manitou Springs. And I just imagine some people's active imagination is kicking it out there.
What does the singer do? They perform, right? What does the... Okay. It did sound funny.
This is America. Come on.
Donnie, get your minds out of the gutter. I am in jail. Oh, he's crossing the street, though.
There's anybody else out there you want to sit there and introduce the world to?
Well, I could, but I don't know.
Well, after you get a chance to do so as you're walking out there and conversing and socializing with everybody, which you have a tendency to encourage everybody else to do anyway.
Maybe we should just take a call right now.
Maybe I should take a call right now. So you think you're in charge? You're the co-host. No.
Oh, sorry. I'm behaving.
Oh, really?
I promise. Yes. Oh, and by the way, to answer your question that I totally evaded, there was an orchestra playing down at the stage tonight. It was very beautiful. I did make it down there for a second. Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh. I passed the spring kind of wanted to taste. Anyway.
Do what?
On to you.
Okay, say it again.
What are we up to? What are we doing? Where are we at?
Well, I had some formats tonight I was going to actually talk about, and as we're taking callers, we're talking about basically, well, you know how it works. That's the ideal. It's like a two-hour show, and we talk about pretty much anything and everything. But I wanted to start to kind of, some of the people I've been talking to are very fascinated with the Atlantis kind of thing, where we can combine past life reading with Atlantis. We're also going to put some focus on relationships, because it seems like for relationship counseling and relationship readings have been coming to the forefront of actually people making decisions. I actually had a reading for a girl today who didn't want to be a mean person by breaking up with somebody that she knew for a fact it wasn't working anymore.
Okay, say that last part again about breaking up with somebody.
She's in a relationship that she wants to break up with somebody, but she doesn't want to come off like a bad person, even though the relationship doesn't work no more. She just doesn't feel it no more. And then she asked me, she said, well, he says he still feels it, but I don't feel it anymore. I said, more than likely you both are on the same page. He just doesn't want to admit to it. And that's why you've been put in a position to make the decision.
You know, my situation, it was something that I know I needed to have happen. I needed that breakup, but I didn't want it. I really didn't want it. So there we go. I mean, it is something that we need and we deserve and we know is supposed to be. But how do you let go of that hurt, that comfort zone? And anyway, so.
That's why she got the card. It says take a leap. A leap of faith of something she knew she had to do.
Okay.
The strength within herself that she had to sit there and follow through with something she knew she had to do, because in the past she had procrastinated on situations like this. So there is one to assure that when she takes the initiative to follow through with things that she knows she needs to do, yeah, there's probably going to be some guilt and some pain that goes along with it, but she's also going to realize in the long run exactly what would have happened if she would have stayed in any longer, because she's done it before.
Okay, hang on just a second. It's going to get a little bit loud because I'm going by kinfolk. So this is where the big to-do is tonight, other than the can you hear the music? Lots of friends in there. A fun little place. Hopping. Good news. Anyway.
Rosetta.
That was at Kimfolk, where they take the dog.
Oh. Well, if we should have done a show last night, King Folks was really lit a few last night because they always had live music and open mic night.
Yes. I don't know if I've ever seen it quite that full. Oh, there's another live band.
I love these people, how they have a tendency to sit there and look at the situation and go,
I'm sorry, I'm seeing another beautiful person. Oh, I do love Manitou. All right. Maybe I should find a spot and sit down.
Well, it's good. It's like you said before, let's take a call.
Okay.
To area code 229. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Heather, are you with
us? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, no, I'm talking to Heather. Heather.
Yes.
Is the co-host here, and it's okay. Sir, what's your name?
Yes, my name is Melvin.
Melvin, I haven't talked to you in a while. We kind of lost touch for a lot of things that's going on there. So
yes,
how are you?
I'm doing, I must say okay, but I'm not. But I just want to see, just get a reading tonight because I really don't know what to ask. There's a lot going on with me.
You know, honey, there's a lot going on with everybody. There's, it's a shift that's happening. I don't know if you've listened to the show lately or not, but, and I talk about this quite often. The shift is going on in the whole world, and everybody's lives are just going up in upheaval, and it'll sort itself out, and you'll land right where you're meant to be. Just know that you're loved, and everything is meant to be exactly, it is exactly as it's meant to be. And you're going to be safe. You'll be fine. All is going to work out. I don't know what's going on. That's what comes up for me immediately. Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I was kind of pondering. I kind of forgot to tell everybody what's in there, doing the information and stuff. I forgot to tell everybody that we actually have a July special going on where all you got to do is call and name your price.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like the idea, whatever you got on your mind, focus on it, come in, and don't hesitate to call us. Because like you said before, when we have specials like that, we have no problem accepting whatever comes across the line because we've done it before. It's actually one of the situations that puts us in a situation where we can actually do what we love to do the most, and the ideal kind of puts both people in a position where they're comfortable exactly what's going on. It's like when I work in the shop. When I work in the shop, I have a tendency to tell people, pay me first. And it's not the idea of any kind of procrastination, the whole thing. It's just the idea that it takes a lot of things off people's minds. So we sit here and get that out of the way so we can actually focus on the session themselves. So when the session's over with, you can scoot on your way, and we're done. We're good. It just relaxes everybody. So, Melvin, you had a situation before, I remember, if I'm not mistaken. You got a girl that was driving you crazy.
Yes. Yeah, she left me about maybe 4.5, almost 5 months ago.
Yeah, so is it something that you still ponder about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I was told she was in an accident and all of that and had passed over. And I don't know, you know, then I was told she was not. So I don't know. I'm confused about it. But
the one thing I was focusing on most on the situation is the idea like this. Most people get confused, and I keep telling people like this. And it's one of the things I focus on the most on in life. Because I remember I told you, too, I felt like she's going to come back. But see, we have to understand one thing about people. They do what they want. And when you look at a situation like hers, more likely she's not even listening to herself. So see, when we're picking up the stuff that she's supposed to do, it means that she's picking it up, too. She just decided to go a different direction. But the idea of getting confused about it, most people get confused because they're trying to figure the person out. Not realizing, because I just started doing this with a lot of people in sessions, especially women. Say, okay, do me a favor. Stop trying to figure them out because you're not a therapist. You're not a psychiatrist, and you're not a psychotherapist. And more like in your situation with her, that's probably the character you have to take on to deal with the situation as a psychotherapist. Get the most powerful position in that situation. But you also have to look at the situation. It doesn't make you any less of a person because you didn't follow through. If it tells you anything, it tells you that you are a person who's in a position to be in a relationship because you've made that decision within your own mind, and that she can't follow through with it. So it's telling you that this person is just not a person. Some people have a hard time with it, saying, well, people have told me this is the person I'm supposed to be with. Well, angels and guides can tell you things. But like I said before, a person has this thing called free will. Now, free will sometimes has a tendency to, people don't understand what free will means. It's the ideal that you have the free will to actually put yourself on the right path as much as the ideal not listening to yourself and put yourself in the wrong path. But the thing is, to sit and look at the situation of a person who just went through this, you got to look at the situation like this. There's somebody better for you.
Yeah.
Who actually can be in that situation. But I wouldn't sit there and go looking for it. I would sit there and allow it to happen.
Yeah. Do you see her contacting me? Wanting to come back?
Are you talking about the woman that we were just talking about?
Yes, sir.
I don't know, Melvin. The thing I keep picking up the most now is the idea of letting it go in favor of something new.
Oh, honey, yes. I get the same thing. Move on. She couldn't step up, so she stepped off. It's time to move along. Find your equal. You get to be the person you want in your life.
Yeah,
okay.
So one thing to kind of try to specify with people too, because they're asking questions and the ideal is saying they don't know. When realistically, if you sit down, because I just went over this thing with a lot of people lately, Melvin, is the ideal of sitting down and write a desire list. Okay, what do you want? Not the ideal of just hoping for the best, whatever happens. Okay, it's the ideal of getting descriptive and detailed. I think we was actually talking about this before when I actually wanted to do some sessions with you and that kind of stuff, where we started to look at things and how to manifest a situation where I have sit there and talk to people and say, okay, let's do a soulmate prayer, okay? We'll focus on the idea of being with our soulmate. So the person we're actually focusing on, what's so great about this thing is if the person we're supposed to be with is our soulmate, we do the soulmate prayer, then we'll start getting closer and they'll come back into life. But also, with the soulmate prayer, also works for you is it will bring your soulmate into your life. So therefore, if this person you're talking about is not the one, it will still bring you the one. It's the idea what you're doing at that time. Then the idea of focusing on a soulmate prayer is you're also connecting with your guardian angels and guides and stuff who are actually pointing things out within yourself. And the more you get to know who you are, the more you know. Well, that's like one of the things. The more you get to know yourself, the more you attract that person.
Okay.
So if you look at the situation with this person you're talking about, the reason I don't feel like she's going to come back, not because there's nothing, because this is one thing about you, it's one hard to understand too. It doesn't matter if she doesn't or she does like you or love you. It's the idea she's not willing to confront that and realize that. That's the thing I get the most. She's just not ready to confront it because it's like, I think right now what's wrong with society is the idea of too much choice. I'm saying, why choose to be single right now because I want to deal with this. See, I always look at it like this. If an opportunity is coming in your lap, and like this, like we have a particular woman I was working with, and she goes, I keep attracting these guys. I'm not ready for a relationship. Well, obviously you are because attraction, that's how it works. When you make up your mind what you want, and it's like the ideal, your conscious mind basically impresses the subconscious mind, which manifests whatever's put on your subconscious mind into reality. We look at the idea and say, the universe sees the subconscious mind, and you're sitting there saying, this is what is true. Okay? That's what you believe, and that's what's going to manifest. So when a person sits there and goes, I'm not ready for this, that's a contradiction because you can't attract something without putting something out there in the first place.
Right.
So it's happening.
That's
a selfish thing because actually it's not just affecting one person, it's actually affecting two people because they're going, okay, that's why we'd sit and look at you, Melvin, the idea, why would you be confused? Because your subconscious mind was attracted to this person who said they were ready for a relationship and now they're basically presenting the opposite. So what you need to do is look at the situation of a contradiction and say, well, I'm not a contradiction. I know what I want. So this can't be the person for me, so there must be somebody better. And there is. So does that make her a bad person? Just basically puts out there she's not ready. Do you have to wait for her? And that's one thing, too. You don't wait for nobody. What you do is you live your life, and if it happens to be merged again, then that's how it's going to happen. But it can't happen unless you're actually living your life. Go ahead, Marv. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes, sir. Also, I wanted to, I'm trying to get back into college, and I think I talked to you about it, and I'm really stressed out because the deadline is the 14th of next month, and I owe the college like $1,600, and I'm trying to search for grants and scholarships. How do you see that playing out for me by next month? Do you see me in the fall semester? Because I only have 8 classes remaining.
What comes to me is I keep getting you. It also says you need to relax.
Yeah.
And then the solutions will come. It's almost like that. The solutions are already presenting themselves, but you're so stressed that you can't see them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because I'm like, I know. I mean, like, man, I'm like, you know, you got your hand on the doorknob, but you won't just have enough strength to pull the door open. And that's me. I'm stressed out about that. And then, you know, with the job that, you know, where I work at a hospital at night. And December 31st, we're going to close the hospital down here in Georgia, and it's going to be about 900 employees out of a job, and I'm one of them. And so a lot of people on the job are stressing out on that, and a lot of people have already left and retired, and, you know, we just trying to keep the hospital open until December 31st, you know, so... I don't know where I'll be at that time because I applied for a coaching job, and it was a new coach here in Thomasville in Georgia. And I went to an interview back in April, and he told me, he said, yeah, coach, you got the job, and I just need to get with the Board of Education and get with other board members and stuff and just see how much money I'm going to pay you. I'm going to supplement. So 2 weeks went by. I went to him, and he told me he squashed the job. All out the blue, like, no, it's not available. And then it may be some other coach may, you know, try to, you know, get it. He may give it to him. So I'm like, he verbally said that I had the job. So that, I had to go through that, you know, stressful situation. And I went and told my family, told my friends, everybody on the job that I have now that, you know, I'll be back coaching. And that's what I really love to do. My goal is to graduate from college and coach football, and that's what I want to do and get healthy, get my body back in top physical condition. But by saying all of that, do you see this coach? I sent him an email about a couple of days ago. Do you see him rekindling the fire of me, the possibility of me coaching this season? It's rough for me.
So what you're saying is they basically, I was trying to understand what you're saying about the idea that the position doesn't exist anymore is what you're trying to say?
Yes, sir. He said that he's exactly, that's what he said. But now his two coaches has left his staff already. So he needs two more coaches. And so I'm available. So I sent that in my email. So do you see me, you see, how does that will work out?
Well, I get the impression with that whole situation is the ideal in person. Make yourself notice in person, not the email, because emails are like this. They don't see you. All they see is the words, and they kind of like blow it off. And actually, that's what came to me very quickly, and the idea of making a personal appearance in the situation, and almost like reminding this guy that you were there before. Well, he could have had at least one of those positions filled before they were even empty.
Right.
That's why I feel like you should simply make yourself notice again. The ideal of his infraction of making a mistake.
Why did he change his mind?
Everything happens for a reason. Huh?
Why did he change his mind on me? Is it me or is it both of them?
Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't look at it as anything personal. I just get an impression with a person who's just egotistic, who doesn't see things what they are, and it's almost like he had a feeling that two people were going to leave in the first place.
Right.
He never listened to him, so. Only that Heather's still there. She's really quiet.
I don't know.
Heather?
Nope.
Only she's on mute.
I'm here. I guess I'm on mute. I'm sorry. I'm taking a picture of Manitou.
I also asked you about to take a picture together so we could actually put that picture on the show.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. Well, I'm
You're
here. I am present. I am in trouble. I am so sorry. I was admiring the beauty of the little town that I live in and that I love and adore so much. So
I understand that. But see, I like Melvin too, and I think I just want you to sit there and give us some insight because you had some really good insight when we first started. I just want to see what you think about the coaching thing and that stuff like that because I think it's a very positive thing that he needs to make a personal appearance that would actually divert
this
thing around or get for him.
This is my coaching. Melvin, I want you to write down everything that you want in your life, the way you want your life to look. This is how I coach quite often. Write it.
Right.
Put it on a dream board. Put it up on your wall. Write it on your mirror. I don't care. You can write it everywhere. It doesn't have to be just one place. But you have to know what you want, honey, because if you don't know what you want, what are you fighting for?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I do know what I want. Definitely know what I want.
Okay,
if you're,
good.
If you're one of those people who don't like to have that stuff personalized or, you know, put out in public and stuff like that, then put it in your journal. Keep it to yourself. Put a little, get you a little thing of, I call it a little journal, like a little, I don't know, a little booklet. But it's like a little dinky journal that you stick in your back. You stick in your back pocket. And when you start getting into a situation when you start doubting yourself, pull it out and start reading it. These are my desires. And get yourself back in a positive frame of mind and then just continue to go on. Because the thing I was looking at the most, because I agree with her completely, is that when I was trying to look at the idea, because I think a desire list would be great for you, all you have to do is remember, you know, write your desires. I mean, don't sit there and think about what's possible. What you want to think about is what you want, what you desire.
Right.
And I always tell people the difference between want and desire is desire has more energy than want. Want is a, like people sit there and they see a Mustang going by, like, I want that Mustang. But then after the Mustang's gone, so is the thought. But see, a desire is something that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's going to change your life because that's what you really do desire. And you can actually visualize it and feel it. That's the difference. So when you pull the journal out and you start reading that journal, it just reaffirms that. It reaffirms that visual, that feeling, and the whole thing. So you can actually picture it as actually being a done deal, okay? But what you want, what you want to do is make sure you do that, and you want to read it 3 times a day, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And then
sir.
What you want to do is you want to sit there and kind of like let it cycle through your mind quite a bit.
Right.
And then then just relax and live your life, you know, live the day.
Now, here's the other part of that, though.
We're all
incredible, beautiful beings created by the same source, by God. However you choose to see that, whether it's universe, whether it's source, whether it's God, whether it's whoever. But that is your thing. Anyways, we are magnificent beings, and we each get to own that.
You go, yes, you are, Heather.
Well, thank you. So are you, Donnie.
You're welcome.
Anyways, what I'm saying is we're all worthy of all these wonderful things in life. It's not just the wealthy who are worthy of it. It's not just the beautiful or the magnificent or the outrageous. It's everything. Single person. Yeah. And I don't know how to explain it. I'm very dear friends with so many of the kids here in town who, for lack of a better way to put it, they say they're street kids. They don't have a place to reside or be under shelter. Some of them have tents. Some of them have nothing except for a backpack on their back, and that's all they have. But they're okay with that. Now, here's the thing. They're worthy of as much as any person. You are worthy. All of us are. Okay, you have to know that in your heart, that you are just as magnificent as the next person. Every single person you come in contact with, you are just as bright and beautiful and amazing and incredible as they are. And they are as you, okay? No one person is more special or less special than the other. So you have to own that and then focus on your dreams and what it is that you want. And once you do that, the reason I'm talking about your worth and your self-esteem, self-value is because that's where it begins. Once you understand how valuable you are, then all of your dreams and your hopes and your desires and your lover will begin to come into your space. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So
yes.
That is my coaching. That's all I can say. Love you. You have to love you, honey, because you are magnificent.
Okay, thank you.
And if I saw you, if you were standing in front of me, I would give you a big hug right now.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Also, what you need to do, too, is get you, you were talking about getting yourself back into shape and in condition and that kind of stuff, is the idea of finding I've actually recommended this to a couple of people, they find a picture of maybe the ideal body you like to have, and then get a picture
right.
of your face and put it on there.
Oh,
it's a nice visual,
yeah.
And people think it's kind of, what are you doing? I'm like, visuals are visuals, and when you can actually visualize it and look at it and then ask yourself a question, how would you feel when you look at yourself in the mirror and you saw that reflecting back? Because the feeling of very important. Feel it,
okay.
See it, live it, and then next thing you know, you will be living it. And some people start to look at the situation, some of the pictures I've chosen, and they're going, well, you know, that's a 25-year-old guy. And your point is, see, the point is, we don't sit here and tell people to basically put on your desire list or what you're willing to accept. Are you willing to, like a compromise? We're not asking you to do that. What we're asking you to do is the idea of looking, sit down and look at the situation and go, okay, like this. Okay, filter the world out and say, okay, the world says this is what you can have. But I want to sit and tell everybody, like, real quick, the world is set up for one thing, for you to fail, because that's why we have so many people in position to catch you who so they can help you. See, it's like
right.
a police force and a lot of things. If you sit and look at some of this stuff, it's almost like they're manifesting situations to prove that they can help you. Instead of focusing, and then I get a lot of people look at me in a crazy way when I sit and try to help you stand on your own 2 feet, and then you'll have someone else over here going, yeah, but it's, and I've actually seen some of the books I've been reading here lately, too, where the first thing you'll see in the first part of the book is how difficult and how hard this is, but I'll help you through it. Now, what I've found out when I read these books is I start it's like getting re-familiar with the things. Like, I already know this stuff. And which a lot of us do, when you start tapping into your soul, it's like tapping into a library. So it's already there. So you already have it all at your fingertips. You just have to sit there and listen within yourself and connect with that whole situation.
Yes,
you understand what I'm talking about?
Okay. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I understand. Yes. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
What do we do,
But just to clear the air for me, you know, like I was telling you about the young lady that would stand with me, if she's okay, that's all, you know, I want to know about her, you know, if she's okay. I mean,
well,
she's not.
I get the impression. I get the impression she's okay. I mean,
okay.
She might be. It's like this, okay? She might not be totally happy, but that's because the choices that she's made. But the ideal of seeing her as a physical, a person as she in harm's way and stuff like that. She does have a tendency to put herself in harm's way, but I feel like right now I keep getting the impression she's okay.
Okay. But she would not be contacting me anytime?
Well, sometimes with these kind of people you do readings for, it's kind of a touchy situation to go into and say, will she ever contact me again? And then she contacts you next week. I'm just, it's almost like they're trying to be mean to me by doing the opposite of what I said they're not going to do. I've had this one here quite a bit, too. But I said, he's going to call you tomorrow, and then the guy's like, he'll call a week later saying he'll never talk to her again. And I'm sitting there going, this is a guy who's in a defense mode who's basically does want to talk to her, does want to interact with her again, but that's why he's calling up and telling he doesn't want to. It's a defense move to push her further away because he can't do it himself. That's why he had to do it. But with this situation here, it seems like there's almost like a fear here with this woman who doesn't feel like she deserves to be happy. So she's constantly creating these situations and scenario to prove it to herself.
Right.
And see, the contradiction here is, Melvin, but your mindset doesn't say that. You're looking for solutions to be successful, and she's looking for a solution to actually cause more chaos and drama.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that's why I feel like it can work out.
Yeah, because she, you know, she'd have left before and came back and back and forth, and I just, you know, basically wanted to know, you know, is this a done deal? I mean, will I hear from her again? Because she, you know, say that she never have anywhere to stay and this and that. So, you know, that's why I want to know, like, will I hear from her again?
Let's see. personally, I get the impression you will hear from her again, but I also get the impression that it'll be because she thinks you're a solution when she should be learning how to stand on her own 2 feet. So that's something to be cautious about.
Whoa.
But I also told you before, too, I also feel like there's somebody new coming in your life. I keep getting August.
Okay, next month?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I know this person.
I'm just saying, it's the idea of learning how to let go and clear the clutter out, so therefore somebody can come back and can come into your life.
Yeah. And now, what tore me apart is that, you know, like I did get a reading and somebody told me that she has crossed over and I freaked out. And I'm like, what? You know, and I got other readings and they said, no, she just, you know, I think she got in. Did she get in a car wreck or something recently? In some trouble with the law?
Good question. Make sure you've been going to, Melvin.
Sir?
Sometimes I've seen some psychics who have a tendency to play on drama, too. It's like looking at your life and, you know, how much drama do you have in your life? You have a tendency to attract people to reaffirm that, too, as well. And I just feel like crossing over, no. To answer your question about the other thing, it just keeps coming to me more like it's not really important. Like you said before, just the idea of knowing that she's okay. I don't pass over, no. Travel, you know. And plus, the other ones, to be honest with you, I just don't pick those up. I just feel like that. I guess what I'm picking up is the idea of what you need to be focusing on right now is Melvin.
Yeah. Definitely. I just need to focus on getting back in school, getting enough funds to get in school and get healthy and hopefully find another job after. After the hospital closed up in December.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, Melvin. Yeah. I want you to do something too as well, okay? Okay,
yes.
There's a lot of people that are going to be out of jobs, okay? But see, the point of the situation is look at the situation like this. No one's out of anything. It's just a phase in your life that's come to an end. And there's something opening up. And it's really something you really want to do. Because it seems like a lot of times when you look at the hospital in itself, it seemed like there was a lot of drama in that situation, too, as well. I'm just saying, it's almost like things are clearing up and you're being directed into a different kind of path and actually things will be more positive in your life.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I talked with you a while back about, you know, all the negative people and, you know, in some of the claims that we admitted in the hospital.
Yeah,
and
the idea of phasing out, we'll say, too. See, when you're around all these people that are complaining about the whole thing, what's coming up, they're not looking at the future. They're still focusing on the crap that's going on. So that's what I'm saying. You look at the situation. Every time they say something, take your mind and focus on what you want to see. Because I would sit here and focus on one thing. I would come up with a nice visualization of you being a coach. Not just the ideal. Because I always tell people when you're manifesting, the idea of becoming a coach is not the outcome. Living it. Experiencing it. And saying, this is the dream I've always wanted to do, but you got to sit there and visualize yourself experiencing the dream, not getting to the dream, but experiencing and living it and feeling it. Those actually bring about quicker results than anything else.
Yeah, because I've been dreaming about, you know, on the football field coaching. And, you're talking about joy, peace, and that's where I'm supposed to be. And that's where I know that's my calling. And I know that I'm supposed to work with young kids and
encourage. Keep living that in your mind, and you'll be living in the reality.
Right. Yes, sir. That's what I want to do. I want to graduate. I only have 8 classes remaining, and I don't see, you know, I ran out of tuition. That's what the business officer said. I didn't have any more funding. And I'm like, whoa, I have 8 classes, and they're all elective classes. I have done all the hard work, all the math, all the science, all the social studies, all the humanities, all my classes. And
I'm just saying, the idea is stop listening to the world. The world has a tendency to say, well, we have these limitations, and so therefore we can't do anything else. When actually what you need to do is stop listening to what they're doing and start focusing on visualizing the solution. But I've seen this a couple times before. I saw a couple who were trying to buy a house, and they were buying this house and that kind of stuff. They kept keeping in mind in a frame that says, no matter what happens, they already picked a house out and they was had kind of visualizing it. And they're sitting there going the whole thing, and then right in the whole midst of the thing, her husband loses his job. Now, he found another job, but they were thinking that was going to actually interfere with the whole thing. But then they cleared their mind and said no.
Right.
Because they could see them living in that house. That's all they focused on. They didn't care what anybody else said. They didn't say, any kind of limitations, that kind of stuff, okay? They just kind of focusing on that visualization, kind of seeing them living in the house, buying a house, being happy because they knew once they got in the house, it opened up more doors than anything. And then the guy that they were working with, I remember this guy was working at this mortgage company. And the guy came to me and he says, I don't know. See, this has kind of baffled me. And they go, what's that? You got approved for this house. The house is yours. They don't sit there and question it. Why? They just knew that they were focusing on their mind and the idea, what is a miracle? It's something that defies reality. So, see, these people are trying to give you reality, but it's also their perception. Okay, what you're going to do is look and say, no, I'm sorry, but my perception says it's mine, and I deserve it. And don't be surprised if something comes along with the idea of funding, because I still feel like they're still out there, because I keep seeing all the time of these companies keep talking about there's grants out there still available for people if you're willing to go back to school. And since you're already in the situation, I would just sit here and focus on those kind of opportunities coming to me right now.
Yes, yeah, you're right. And so that's why, like you said earlier at the beginning when I first called in, you were saying, it's right there by me, but I'm too stressed out to even see it. And that frustrates me because I know it is. It's just like if I hit the right button on the computer, I got it, I'm like, Lord, I got it. I know I got it. And
if you're having trouble opening the door, then find a friend that you can really trust. To give you the extra boost and open the freaking door.
That's what I need, man. I thank you for everything. I really need, I will persevere. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, you should still consider the idea of the sessions I was talking to you about and take advantage of the situation and name your price.
Okay, all right.
The whole situation.
Did you put your phone number in the archives?
Oh, yeah. If you go back in the archives on any show, you'll hear the number because I usually mention it at the first part of the show. But if you want to hear it again, I can give it to you real quickly. And all you got to do is call me at 740-500-8863.
Okay, what's the best time to give you a call? Is you out in California?
No, I'm in Colorado.
Oh, that's right.
Where are you?
That's right. I'm in Georgia. Yeah, that's right. I remember you. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah, we also have a situation too going on where it's like the idea you're in Georgia. There's a 2 hours difference.
2 hours.
So I always tell people I'm available, but if you're 9 o'clock in the morning. Don't call me because that'd be 6 my time. But, that's the only variation. Well, somewhere at the end, like about 7 in the morning. So I'll probably be still snoozing because I usually work until about 4 in the morning. But I'm just saying with you and the situation, you just call, leave a message, and I'll get back with you. It's just been crazy. Because I remember you was calling before, and then I got this new shop. I had this shop downtown, so it's kind of like, everything's going in a different direction and that kind of thing. So I was trying to work on the balance and they're working on a random and all those other places and stuff. So they're probably get balanced out and filled with people, which is starting to work out now. I'm starting to work with more private clients anymore, which is
okay.
I want to work in the shop. I want to do private clients. So I can take me away from these phone services. But right
that's
now, my guys
I mean.
Are saying it's all necessary. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what I need. And one last thing I want to just ask you. I have a 2000 Malibu black Chevrolet. And do you see me keeping this car or having some big major trouble with it? Because I want to be able to get back and forth to school because I'm definitely going to be in there this next month. I mean, it's run good, but, it's kind of smoke a little bit. But I don't know if it's the head gaskets, or I don't know what it is.
Well, the impression I get is you should downsize.
I should be what now?
You should be downsizing.
Oh, move up.
I know the car is a nice car. And realistically, when I look at the situation, I don't see any problems with it. It's just one of those things that could be, it could be consuming with money and stuff. That's what I'm saying.
It could be what now?
It could be overwhelming financially. I mean, I don't see it like one of those things where you'd be breaking down somewhere where you can't get back and support the school. I'm just saying with the ideal of certain maintenance, I feel like you're going to catch things on. You'll be catching the things before they actually happen, but it still will be expensive.
Yeah, it still will be expensive.
So the very first thing I got was the ideal you should consider downgrading to a different type of car.
Trade it in and get it.
It's one of those things when you sit and focus on the situation, opportunity is going to come across. We'll be able to actually switch cars if you choose to, and it won't actually cost you any more than what you're dealing with, but it'll actually be cheaper in maintenance.
Yeah, because see, I mean, y'all pay cash for that car there. It's paid for it and all that, so that's, I don't want an extra bill right now due to my financial difficulties right now. So do you see
how it's going to happen? I'm just saying, I get an impression that something, there's going to be another opportunity that comes along where it could be one of the things you should consider.
Okay.
How things change.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay.
I'm going to be moving on here, Melvin. I hate to do that, but we have a lot of callers tonight, so.
Okay.
Like I said before, give me a call. I will definitely work with you personally. And
yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Bring an idea on what you're working with.
Yes.
Yeah, just bring it to you, what you can do and that kind of stuff, and we'll be able to work with you, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank both of you all. Okay. Have a blessed
You have a beautiful night, honey.
All right, thank you both of you. God bless.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. Let's go on here and call
you,
off, which is actually... Heather, is that something you say?
What?
I said, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, Manitou is hopping tonight. I am floored at how busy this little town is right now. I have, of course, I always do, but I swear I talked to a dozen people. I had to put it on mute because there's so many people that I run into and see. So,
no, I actually heard that.
Yes, I did hear that.
I'm just saying, the situation she went through, I heard the noise, and also I heard it go off. I said she must have muted the phone because it was getting too loud.
Yes, it was. It was. We were migrating. And we walked back by the one. Anyway, so now we are sitting very quietly in front of Pike Peak Chocolate and Ice Cream.
They're still open?
Across from, no. The windows are closed. The door is locked. And you cannot have any fudge.
That sucks. I was like, come on, they're open that one night until 11.
That sucks. I think that's going to be one of my new phrases.
So, are you ready to take another caller?
Yes. I am sitting here. I'm present. And I am attentive.
Okay.
You know,
right,
I can't help it. I have a lot of fun. Okay.
I know you do. That's why you're out in the streets and I'm stuck here. That isn't sound right, does it? Anyway. I should be out there having fun, too. So, therefore,
Donnie,
we should do more shows in the future the same way, right?
Yes. What are you doing? Because it is very noisy.
What am I doing?
Now it's quiet. Okay.
Yeah,
what are you
doing?
Yes, you are.
I'm not. I swear to you, I'm just sitting here relaxing, wish I was out there. So maybe it's just the idea the thoughts are loud. Right, because I already opened the mic and said, okay, you know, we have a caller named, it's a Skype caller, which is Dr. Danielle.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hey, well, I'm doing fine. Heather's doing great. She's out in the streets. That's so great. She's down. She's actually walking around doing her remote and talking to everybody in town. Manitou Springs. Well, I'm just saying, Manitou Springs is in a vortex, so the energy is phenomenal here. And it's a very spiritual town in its own right. I just don't see that.
Yes,
so, Danielle, is it Danielle?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Danielle, say hello to Heather. And it's really nice
talking
to you.
Hello, Heather. How are you?
Hello, Danielle. Honey, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome.
And where are you calling from, Danielle?
I'm actually calling from Centennial, Colorado.
Yay.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty close to, I think.
Yes.
Yes. Relatively yes, I would say so. I
okay,
didn't realize.
Cool.
This is my first time calling into your show. I have I hadn't heard of it before, and I just stumbled across it. And so I was listening into your caller before, and I heard you say that you were in Colorado. And so I wasn't sure what part, but that's pretty cool. Colorado is beautiful.
Yeah,
it
we're
is.
In Manitou Springs in flood country.
Nice.
Anyway.
So
I
wanted to ask a question, if I may, and if I, you know, because I was kind of listening to the last caller. So if I may direct my question to you, it's about a relationship, and I just kind of would like to know how you feel about where the relationship will end up, you know, like whether it's going to go in the direction of, you know, moving in together and, you know, that whole path, or if you think the relationship
mm-hmm.
will end.
Okay, Danielle, let me have you, can I get some information from you? Like, when's
of
your
course.
Birthday?
My birthday is October 2nd. Do you want the year? I'm
God.
Happy to give it to you.
No, I was, yeah, you can give me the year. I was just, for some reason, the reason I wanted to hear your birthday, because that was the biggest thing that was bugging me the most, October.
Okay.
So I was like, So you're Libra.
Yes.
And what year was you born?
75.
Okay. And it says Dr. Danielle. So what does that mean?
Yes.
You can do doctrine for anything.
No, not yet. Actually, I'm a pre-med student, and I am about to graduate and go for my master's in biomedical science, which is a one-year program. And from there, mm-hmm. I will go to medical school here in Colorado.
So you want to become a doctor?
Yes, emergency medicine.
Okay, well, I hope so, because we need some people in there to actually know what they're doing.
yeah, we do.
Anyway, because I've gone there before, and they're just looking at me going, so what's wrong with you? I said, well, that's why I came here for you to tell me. Anyway.
Right.
But, and also, you said you have a relationship going on.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if I could get the information about those people. Well, I shouldn't say those people, that person.
His birthday is January 26th, 73.
January 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he's got a lot of traits in him, too. I also get the impression the person has a tendency to procrastinate quite a bit.
Yes.
He's a Capricorn with a twist
of an Aquarius.
Oh,
no,
yeah, I understand
yes.
what you're saying. But listen, I always tell people, listen to what I'm saying, because the ideal of astrology is not really fixed as much as people like to make it. It's
mm-hmm.
actually a lot of fluctuation. And the ideal, his foundation that he has is based more in Capricorn, but it's also the Aquarius has a tendency to make him basically doubt himself. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So therefore, you might not see a lot of these things on the surface because he's Aquarius. He keeps it under wraps, and he's always, you know, it's one of those things that expression is not his strong suit. But the Capricorn actually has a tendency to make him feel grounded, and I think that's why he's so, I guess the word comes to me as seclusive. But
okay.
you're sitting there talking about the situation, focusing on the relationship and what direction you want to go into. And the first thing that came to me was, you need to keep focusing on that visualization. But also, at the same time, you have to have faith in yourself. You're a very strong person. You're a Libra. And I think sometimes the Libra in you has a tendency to work against you because you're so loyal to people and situations. So therefore, you have a tendency to keep yourself in a relationship a lot longer than you should. And you have a tendency to sit there and take people's feelings into consideration more than your own. Now, some people think, well, that's kind of, if you didn't do it the other way around, you're being selfish. Not really. Because
mm-hmm.
the more the work you do on yourself, the more you focus on what you really want, need, desire, and focusing
mm-hmm.
on your desires, okay, and live those desires, actually helps everybody else to see you as an example and to follow through and do the same. Okay, so when you look at the situation, a lot of us have a tendency to basically enable people to keep doing the same thing over again because we're scared of hurting their feelings, not realizing sometimes the situation, the truth is the truth. And the
mm-hmm.
reason you're hurting their feelings because the realization has already gone through their head, and you just confirmed it for them. That's why they hurt, because they knew. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the situation of the relationship itself, I just feel like it's very strong in its own
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the ideal of people not loving each other enough. I think it's one of those situations of what really works for each other. Sometimes I see visualizations, and with you, I have a tendency to see you dragging him behind you because
okay.
of all the decisions you've already made for yourself. You already
okay.
know what you want to do. And I think he has he's still kind of... It's almost like when I look at him, though, you said you're 70 what?
75, and he is 73.
70, which would actually make him older than you are, right?
Correct.
Why do I feel like he's younger than you are? I'm not saying he's lying about his age. I'm looking at the situation. Yeah, I just feel like he just has a tendency to come up like he's younger than you are. And almost like a feeling that he feels like he should be further along in his life and certain things that he wanted to accomplish, and he hasn't done that yet. So
okay.
what, you tell me.
Well, he's, as far as like his career and things of that nature, he's pretty successful man. He's a business owner, and I would say that he's taken some financial hits, if you will. And so he's kind of in the process. He's at a point in his life where he's like incredibly focused on his business and his finances in order to kind of get back on track. I mean, I think, and not to say that in a generic way, but you know, this has been
mm-hmm.
kind of a difficult, maybe let's say 2 to 5 years for a lot of people. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, he, like a lot of other Americans, you know, has, you know, took a hit and had some, you know, financial things going on that were pretty major. And so he's kind of at the point now where he's recuperating and getting things back in order. So at this point in his life, that is his
mm-hmm.
priority. And I completely
okay,
understand.
So the thing I'm talking about, well, something before about his procrastination,
mm-hmm.
is realistically get back on track is not to focus on the finances of the business, but the idea of focusing on himself and ask himself, am I really doing what I really want to do, or am I doing it because of the money? I'm doing it for a lot of other reasons. That's what I was talking before, when he comes off as young. It's
okay.
emotional. It's the idea of goals. And also, the situation, we heard this before, I was talking to Melvin. I was trying to get Melvin to stop thinking about one thing. He was talking about the 900 and some people are going to lose their jobs. They're not losing their jobs. It's just a phase in their life that's coming to an end. And it's the idea of, I guess if everybody that was in their lives in situations like this had an arrow on their head pointing
mm-hmm.
us in the right direction, then we would see things that we're taking things too personal of thinking that these things are our lives, not realizing that everything in our lives we have made decisions to do. So therefore, if you look at the situation of why we're successful or not successful, it's because of how we feel about ourselves. So it's about you, not the business. And I'm just sitting here looking at this guy you're talking about and the idea, what
mm-hmm.
is his name?
His name is Shelly.
Hey,
his name is Shelly.
Okay. Okay, his name is Shelly. He's a guy. Okay. I've never met a guy named Shelly, okay? That said, I'm just saying with the situation, the strength and this kind of thing, I just feel like a lot of things around him would change a whole lot quicker if he would focus on himself and the ideal of being very, very honest and ask himself, is it something, the reason he's having these infractions is because it's time for a major change. Instead of trying to get a dead dog to actually get up and walk off and trying to get that successful, teaching the dog
mm-hmm.
new tricks. And I'm just saying there's something about the whole thing because there's a lot of changes going on in your life. And also, what I was trying to say before is forget about the world. Forget about Americans and start focusing on your life because the more you start looking at the situation, because the reason I was saying that, because Doreen Virtue popped in my head. And I remember when she was going to school to become a psychotherapist, and she had a teacher who told her, because she wanted to get things done. She wanted to start working right now. And her teacher told her flat out, you will never get a job as a psychotherapist until you graduate. And what she would do in those situations is she would use those as motivation to prove them wrong. And she actually had a job as a psychotherapist in a hospital 4 months before she graduated. So it's the idea that we can listen to the world. We can listen to these four plans. mm-hmm. and how people have things set out, 2 to 4 years, 2 to 5 years. But basically what you're doing is you're putting yourself back in the world, which puts you in a position of failing in the first place because you wasn't listening to yourself. That's what I'm saying, and that's what I'm saying with the situation here. I feel like with his business, I'm not saying to give his business up completely, but I just feel like he should be looking at this thing in a different direction and looking and getting a different perception on how to make this work, because it seems like he's mm-hmm. still using the same way he did it the first time, which has actually created the infraction of all the things that happened in the latter part of the situation that he's trying to recover from. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does.
So we're not criticizing him. We're just saying, hey, you know something? You know, if he keeps doing this, it's the ideal that this could actually also hinder your relationship. Because it's like, in some sense, the word, I just feel like he should, to make it short and simple, is he should be focusing on himself. He should be looking in the mirror and asking himself flat out, am I really doing what I want to do? Or am I doing this because this is what the world says I should be doing? Basing success on what the world says success is instead of actually coming up with what he feels within himself or what success really is. And it has nothing to do with money. Money's like a hammer. Okay? It's just a tool to obtain success. But every thought, everything you've ever done up to this point, all the success you've ever had is because of what your intention and what you put into those intentions to create your life. Simple as that.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, let me just say that I heard everything that you said, and I want you to know that I'm paying extremely close attention to everything that you're saying. So please just know that. But I guess my question is, do you feel that, I mean, sometimes when people are looking at relationship stuff, it's very, I'm sorry, my computer is talking to me. It's very generic. And so I guess more specifically, there are a lot of things, and you actually touched on a lot of very specific things, and so I just want to kind of give you confirmation on that. But I guess I'm wondering if you see, do you see us living together anytime soon?
I get the impression you don't.
Well, no, actually, we talked about it, and it's something that, you know, we've been kind of talking about. And so, like, I don't really know what's going to happen, and I'm kind of, you know, I know that
question.
I would like it. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm just saying, do you feel like he's procrastinating?
Yes, I do.
Holding back. Yeah, so
yes,
do
I.
And that's the problem with the situation. It's like guys have a tendency to go, well, as soon as I'm successful, then we can do all these things, not realizing that, what are you going to do in the future when you have an unsuccessful period in your life? You're going to get split up and say, well, we'll get back together when I get back on my feet, or are you going to sit here and pull together and realize the relationship is actually the support that he needs and the idea of being motivated to actually accomplish the things within his business and within himself. He just needs to change. And I don't mean that in a simple, because we've heard that before. He needs to change. No, there's certain things that he already knows.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, he already knows.
So do you feel that will
happen,
though?
I know these things, but I'm not following through. That's what I'm saying. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I think you're absolutely right. And I know what you mean when you say he needs to change. You don't mean like just – I know exactly what you mean, I promise you. But I'm saying, do you feel that whatever
changes – you don't expect him to change. You just know that he's already talked about it, and you're kind of baffled because he hasn't followed through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying with you that – I would sit there and look at it like this. The situation keeps coming to me as the possibility – but it keeps saying within the next 6 months. That doesn't mean it'll take 6 months. I don't feel like that's going to be the... I'm just saying with the idea of a person who's, like, really indecisive, let's put it that way, that it could happen any time in the next 6 months.
Okay.
And it's one of those things of taking it... So this is the thing about the whole thing. We can talk about it until doomsday. It's the ideal of saying, okay, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think you could actually do this? And the ideal situation, how long have you guys been seeing each other?
We've been together for 3 years.
I'm sorry, I'm a relationship counselor too, and I feel like that the idea of anything past a year and a half is ridiculous. It's the idea you should already know in a year and a half, and the idea of wanting to spend the rest of your lives together or not. Because realistically, you're not going to realize and know each other completely, ever. So So therefore, if you're going to wait for that to happen, it's never going to happen. Does that make sense? Because what I'm saying is, for example, you've seen people before, they meet each other, 2 weeks later they get married, and they spend the rest of their lives together. Why'd that happen? Because they realize it's a lifetime commitment to getting to know each other.
Well,
and they decided
they're going to do it. But in his situation, his parents were married for more than 30 years until his father passed. And so, you know, his mother and I have become great friends. And she's, you know, told me that even when he was a teen, that he would tell her, I'm going to get married one time, and that's it. I'm not getting married more than once. I'm not getting a divorce, and that's it, that's it. And that's what he always said. And he's 40 years old, and he's never been married. He's never been engaged. He wants to get married. He's a single father, and he has custody of his children, and he is very protective and feels that he doesn't want women in and out of his life, in and out of his house, in and out of their lives. And I too am a single mother, so I understand that. And I was actually married when I was very, very young, and so I understand that. I think that he has probably one of the most adult and mature ways of looking at that than most of the people that I know. Because I feel like a lot of I have a friend of mine, totally unrelated, but I have a friend of mine, he was married in August last year, filed for divorce rather in December, met a woman, proposed to her in February, and now he's calling me telling me that, you know, he's not going to marry her, and, you know, it's just she wasn't who he thought she was. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, people move way too fast these days, and that's why 60% of marriages end in divorce. So I'm not in a rush to, like, do that those things. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that, you know, like you said, after a year and a half, you have to have some idea. And I agree with you there. So that's why I feel like at this point in our relationship, it's safe to and it's okay to at least talk about moving in. I'm not talking about marriage because I wouldn't marry someone unless we've lived together and I've experienced a little bit of what that's like. And I
understand that, but I was sort of listening to you, but the thing is, people don't realize one thing. Statistics say, if you want to go that route on the worldly thing, okay, that people who live together have a higher rate of divorce than people who don't. So therefore, whoever came up with the ideal, it's the next step. I keep reading the books and I just can't find this anywhere. And if I did, from the experiences of doing relationship counseling and doing a lot of work with a lot of people, the reason, it's like one of the things, it can work as long as you have a plan and say, okay, we're going to live together because we're already engaged, we're getting married, and we just want to start the living together part now, okay? But I've seen a lot of women and guys who say we're going to live together, but never really discuss the ideal of the, why are we doing this? Is it because a lot of people have, or they do, and the guy said, well, this would be great. We'll live together because it's going to save some money on rent. If that's the way it is, then walk away. Okay, because that's not the ideal of living together. Living together, you should be living together for one reason only. That's because you love each other and you just want to merge those two lives together, okay? Plus, when you're talking about the ideal of the situation, I understand he's being very cautious about this whole thing, but there's also a major decision. I understand what the idea of maturity and that kind of stuff, but I just feel like there's a lot of fear here. Now, I've always sat there and said to people flat out, a lot of the things I've ever done with people, if you're making decisions because of the fear of whatever, you're making a decision in the wrong direction. It has to be something that you're very positive about, and it resonates with you in a very positive way, and that's what you're going to get as a positive result. Because when you start looking at this, yeah, I'm just saying with the situation, it's time to get married. Okay, he said the idea, okay, don't bring women in, that kind of stuff. You're like, you guys have been together for 3 years, so there's only been one, from what I can see, there's only been one influence, and one influence only. And I'd be the first person to say, too, you know, when you bring people in your lives and that kind of stuff, you know, you usually keep the woman separate from your kids for a while until you can get to know that person. But it's also, you can go by these rules, okay? And you're talking about the 60% divorce rate. Yeah, but see, the reason that we have a way in the world that says a 60% divorce rate is because we're all thinking about the other person. We're not thinking about what we want. We're sitting here going, because I've heard this before all the time, okay, what's he want? How does he feel? And I say, who cares? If he hasn't conveyed those things to you, then you have more of an issue here of communication, not what he feels or doesn't feel, okay? And the other one I heard the other day, a woman sits here and said, why do you want to be with this person? Because I love him. I said, what do you freaking do? That's a fact. You are a loving, caring, awesome person. So therefore, that's how you express yourself to other person. But it's not the reason to stay with a person. To be with a person is because that's where you want to be at, not because of what he gives you back or doesn't give you back. Get the idea of where do you want to be. How does it resonate with you? How's life going for you? Is it really working? Are you compromising in any way to make this work? Because if you're compromising in any kind of way to make this work, then what's going to happen is you're going to keep compromising until there's one day you're going to sit there and look at yourself and go, I have no idea who I am because I've compromised so much to make this work. Because there shouldn't be any compromising in personality. When you're with somebody and we're talking about compromising, we're talking about situations. Like, say, I want to go get some ice cream, and he wants to go get pizza. So you compromise and say, okay, let's go get the pizza. You know, but there is a win-win situation of getting pizza and having ice cream afterwards. But I'm just saying there are win-win situations. But what I'm saying is you never, ever give up who you are to make something work. And when you look at the situation of this person you're with and that kind of stuff, we were sitting talking about this the other day, too. The world says if you do it this way, you have a great relationship. And it sucks because it doesn't work, because that's why they have a 60% divorce rate of saying, what you need to do is kiss ass, give this person exactly what you want, do all this stuff and that kind of thing, you have a great relationship, which we realize is 60% divorce rate, so it doesn't work. Okay, Christians say, if you do it this way, you're going to have a great relationship, and their percentage is like 35% to 45%. Okay, but when you start focusing on people who do it the spiritual way, of actually listening to themselves, listening to their guidance, listening to their angels, listening to their psychic abilities, that's going to freak people out. It almost falls down to zero. Okay? Because in a spiritual lifestyle, what they promote is you can have anything you want and nothing's impossible. Everything is possible. In the world, they're saying you have limitations. I say find what your limitations are and exceed them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the situation here, it's like this. The reason I say get married is because you guys are realistically, you're in a great time of your lives. You're doing what you want to do. I think he needs to reformulate his and really do what he really wants to do. But what that whole situation said, there is no excuse acceptable in this situation of why not to take this relationship and go further. And I think that's the kind of conversation you should have and say, this is what I see, this is what I feel, and this is what I know. Not by compromising and saying he's in a bad situation. The reason he's in a bad situation is because of all the decisions he's made. So what you do is you don't go along with those decisions. You sit there and look at him and say, okay, was that really a good decision? Which is based on the idea of what you want to do with your life. But see, you're doing what you really want to do, and you're going to go through everything and anything to get there. But I don't think you should put off a relationship in the process of accomplishing it. It's just the idea of coming with balance so it all works together, because that's how life is. Balancing one's life means there's five parts of your life, and you have to have them all in balance with each other. You don't give up the relationship part in favor of the finances. You don't give up the finances in favor of the spirituality. You find a way to make them all work. I wish I had that freaking book. It's called The Alchemist's Handbook by a guy named John Randolph Price, which actually talks about spiritual alchemy, which is the idea of looking at energy itself, visualizing and focusing on exactly accomplishing the life that you want by the idea of using divine alchemy, which is energy. Some people would call it the ideal manipulation of energy. But what we're doing is we're just imposing our thoughts and energy on these things to actually make them happen the way we want to. And it talks about the five parts of your life. And it talks about relationships, but it doesn't talk about relationships just in a romantic way. It talks about relationships throughout your whole life and how you interact with all those relationships, okay? There's also a spiritual part. What kind of spirituality do you want? What kind of spirituality do you want to accomplish? It also talks about the one thing about spirituality, too, is there has to be a balance between physical body and spirituality, because if your physical body is out of shape, then the two don't work together. And also with what you're trying to do with your life right now, it's crucially important to keep yourself physically fit as much as mentally and spiritually. Or this is the idea of what you're trying to accomplish right now can work against you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I think we lost Heather. Yeah, I think we did lose her. I'm looking for a phone number going, what happened there? Anyway.
Well, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate that. That's a lot of really great information. I didn't get a chance to write it down when you were talking to the gentleman that you were talking with before me. Would you give me your contact information, please?
Oh, yeah. It's 740-500-8863. And if you ever get a chance to come to Manitou Springs, my shop is 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. Right across
and
the brochure
Mondays. What kind of shop do you have? I didn't catch any of that. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. Actually, what we're doing right now, what the shop we're doing right now is we do services. We do life coaching, relationship readings, relationship counseling. We do past life readings. We do palm readings and angel tarot card readings. And we do, you know, a lot of the things we like to do, too. Like I like to work with people in the idea of teaching them meditation, working with their chakras, which actually can help you connect with your abilities more because there are certain chakras that are connected to our spiritual abilities. Mm-hmm. It enhances those things. And all kinds of, well, actually, my favorite one was the idea of doing chakra chanting, which you can actually be great for relaxing before you mm-hmm. do past life regression and stuff like that, or even meditation. When you're focusing on your desire list and you're trying to focus on the resonance to actually make it happen, the chakra chanting can actually relax you, but also balance and cleanse your chakras. And all it is simple. It's simple chanting. Certain each one of the chakras have a tone, and all you do is just pronounce that tone, kind of like let it resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on those parts of your life. It's just like it's like a simple way of focusing on yourself. And each one of those chakras have a very good, they have their own meaning for what they're there for. Like you have the heart chakra, which is in the middle, and then you have three chakras above your head and three chakras below your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that the lower ones connect you more to people, the earth, that kind of stuff. But then the ones above the heart are the ones that connect to spirit and your spiritual, some people call them psychic abilities, but I like to go more of the spiritual abilities with your, There is one ability that's below the heart. It's called clairsentience. It's your gut feeling. People get butterflies mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. That's actually
mm-hmm.
a psychic ability or a spiritual ability. And then you have your third eye chakra, which is connected to your third eye. There's also, it depends which way you look at it. Dorian Virtue is one who have a tendency to explore the ear chakras, which are actually clear to, actually connected to your air, your clair audience, which is hearing spirit, or as they call it, it's just clear hearing. You hear things, you hear everything. Same thing with clairvoyant. Clairvoyance means clear seeing, but it's also connected to spirit and seeing things for what they are. Clairvoyancy also is one of those abilities, too, that helps you see people. That's why you can be so good at reading people, because you have a certain clairvoyant ability of your own to see past or see through people's masks and see people for who they are. And that's one of the things you should work on, if not your clairsensing ability. But then you have your crown chakra, which is your spiritual idea of being open to spiritual guidance. But people don't realize when you start connecting to energy in your chakras and your aura and your spirit, you're actually on the same level at that moment with your angels. So therefore, the messages come across very clearly. Your angels and your guides and the archangels and all the spiritual help that's around you. It makes you able to connect with them where you can actually be like in a setting where you're sitting at a coffee table, like with your friends, talking to each other. That's the kind of conversations, the kind of relationships that you can have with your angels and guides by taking the moment to work on those and explore those. You might find that an easier way to ground yourself, too, in the process. There was a book I had this book I lent to a friend of mine on the idea of how to make her business more successful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Silva Mind Control System. And it actually has a lot of techniques on teaching you how to put yourself in the alpha mode to actually be more successful. For example, you're in school. Actually, there's techniques in the book that could actually help you to study less and learn more and actually have time to actually live a life. Because most people are going like now, it's the ideal. If you sit and look at the people in college and that kind of stuff who study 24/7, realistic, it's a lack of self. They think they have to do all this stuff, and they're just not going to learn this thing, not realizing the brain is like a freaking computer. It's actually more efficient than a computer. That you actually
mm-hmm.
can learn things very quickly. It's just the ideal of learning how to do certain techniques to obtain the information. And also stop being nervous. Nervous has a tendency to create a chemical in your brain that it makes you forget. Or it actually blocks the suppressor where you can actually pick the information out of your memory. I'm just saying, I've had this book, and there's some techniques in there that were really, really cool about how to keep yourself in the alpha, which is, the alpha mode is actually when you're dreaming and when you're in meditation. And what it does, it teaches you how to have that throughout the light, during the day where you're very, like you are right now. It's just that you can actually tap into the thing real quickly and assess situations a whole lot quicker and see them for what they are. Even to the point of actually not being angry with anybody anymore, because you can sit there and look at the situation very clearly and realize The reason things are happening is because of something you're not really catching within yourself. Like your boyfriend has a tendency to reflect back at you a lot of things about yourself. And the more you sit there and learn from those experiences, you change your life. You also change the reflection that he's seeing too, and he will also do the same and follow through. So it's the ideal of Doreen Virtue's favorite line is, when you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. So it all starts with you.
Well, thank you so very much. I'll definitely have to check that. Thank you, thank you. I'll definitely be in touch, and if I get that way, I will certainly stop in and say hello.
Definitely. It was really nice talking to you too tonight, and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling
tonight.
Thank
you
too. Thank you
for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, let's go into something here real quickly. I'm just going to start focusing on something, and I was looking at some calls here. So let's go to the next caller. Next caller is, hold up, I'm trying to freaking get this thing in my freaking head. And sometimes when you push the buttons don't do what you want them to do, which can really irritate you. We're going to try this one here. I think it's a private caller. The air code, well, actually it always says 11111 when it's a private caller. So therefore, you're on the air right now. So what's your name and where are you calling from? Yes.
My name is Elfina. I'm calling from Arizona.
Arizona. Arizona is pretty close to us in Colorado. We've heard a lot about Sedona, so how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Oh, and what did you say your name was?
Elfina.
And how can we help you tonight?
I was actually wondering if you guys could give me any insights about a person named Dell.
A person in jail?
No, Dell. His name's Dell, D-A-L-E.
Okay, sorry. His name is Dell?
Yeah.
And what would you like to know about him?
I'm wondering if he's going to re-enter my life, and if so, when.
You know, when I focus on the situation, I keep picking up that the idea of being a part of your life and that kind of stuff, I keep getting no. How long have you known, Dale?
What was that?
I keep getting no.
He's not going to re-enter my life, or?
The way it comes to me is not the way you'd like him to. And even to the point of being debatable about the rest of it anyway. How long have you known him?
I've known him for a while.
So approximately, do you know how long?
Like, I have to give you the exact...
Well, when you look at the situation of a person who can't give somebody an exact time on a person they've been with for so long, which is usually what they do. So sometimes people ask too many questions on the idea of the situation, but we've had some interesting calls that have actually distracted the freaking thing as in our show. And we take things very seriously. So the idea, I was just kind of curious of the situation, but the one thing that came to me the most is the word no about the situation that you're actually asking about. So if you don't want to give me exactly how long you've been with him, how many has it been, months, years, millennia?
Months.
Huh?
Months.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch. Yeah, when's your birthday?
December 8th.
What year?
Seven.
Okay, say it one more time.
1980.
Out for a minute. 1980?
1987.
Wow, I love that kind of phasing in thing, don't you? Kind of drive me crazy. So with the situation, I guess you see it differently in the idea of this person being a part of your life?
What was that?
I said, so what you're saying to me is, I guess from what I can pick up with you, as you think this person is going to be a part of your life, correct?
I don't think. Like, I asked you that question. That was my question to you. Like, is he going to re-enter my life? And then you said something about being no. And then you asked me how many months I've known him, which I really don't know what it has to do with that.
Okay. And my next question was, what do you think? Okay, that's the way it is. I'm a psychic. I see in people's lives. But see, it's like me looking at
your life.
Yeah, like
that's what you think. If you're a psychic, you would know the answer to that question, and you wouldn't be asking me questions and then feeding, like, getting the answers off of the answers that I gave you. Like, why did you want to know how long he was in my life?
I guess it was just one of the ideas of having a conversation with somebody like I usually do when people come to my shop. And I sit there and go, so how long have you guys been together? And they go, oh, we've been together for like 15 years, somewhere around there, kind of thing. No problem. Casually tell me everything. And you are getting defensive to the point where we're going to say goodbye and have a good day, okay? All right, just going to our next caller. It's like this, guys. And I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to prove anything to anybody. And the ideal is saying, you know something? This is what I do for a living, and I'm authentic, okay? If you want to go back and listen to the archives and get your proof of what you're looking for, great. But on the show here, we only have so much time, so therefore we're going to get to the callers, and we're going to do some really great readings and that kind of stuff like that, too. So if you've been listening and you still have a problem with me asking you a question, I'm just like a person who likes to have conversations with people, okay? So therefore, if I ask you a casual question, how long have you and your boyfriend been together? It's a talk show. Okay, it is a talk show. Now, with the last caller, I told her I didn't feel like that she, this guy was going to be a part of her life. I also felt like it was not a really legitimate call as well. Because I'm not going to sit here and go over this stuff, okay? For one reason is, I don't have to. We're trying to get people, as many people as we can in, to talk to them, to call, to have a great time, okay? So they can get their answers to their questions. So therefore, if you want to call in here and try to prove I'm right or wrong, I'm legit or not, then go to somebody else's show, okay? Okay, off to the next caller, which is actually area code 561. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name, and where are you calling from? Area code. All right. Let's go to area code 845. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello? Area code 845. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, let's go to area code.
Hi.
20. Okay, I need to get that figured out. 8201. How are you?
Good, thanks.
And what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Brittany, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Brittany from New Jersey. So welcome to the show, and how can we help you tonight?
I just wanted to know about my past life a little bit. I'm just trying to do some kind of healing all over, and I feel like that this is a good like next place to start. To see if there is
no
anything
and,
that happened there.
Okay. Well, give me an idea of what you're up to and the idea of when's your birthday and that kind of stuff.
Sure. My birthday is 8/7/85.
What was that first part?
Sorry, August 7th,
1985. Okay, so you're a Leo?
Yes.
85, you're like what?
27.
You want to say 26, 27? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be 28.
Okay. So you have, okay, for example, you're focusing on things that are going on in your life right now where you think a past life might actually help you understand and maybe bring some light into what's going on?
Yeah.
So you'd actually share with us exactly what's going on. Because usually when I do past life regressions and readings in my shop, you know, and for private clients, it's usually we ask them to focus on a certain situation that they're not understanding. It will actually help us to pinpoint.
Okay.
What's the focus on?
It's a lot to do with, like, I guess, career and relationships.
Well, that's usually a lot of things with situations in life. Things have a tendency to go hand in hand. Okay? That's, you know, like with the situation, your relationship. I mean, what would be the one thing that would be your most problem that you think? Because, I mean, I look at you and I sit here and look at relationships. It's like I can do everything pretty well in my life until you throw a relationship into it. And now I think I have to do it a different way.
You know what it is? I feel like I... What's the word I'm looking for? I'm sorry. I know there's other callers, and I'm, like, trying to look for my thought. I guess I get scared, and I tend to run away from situations, and then I also tend to run into bad situations.
Yeah, we call it, what we call that, the shoe, the tennis shoe syndrome. We put the tennis shoes on, and we run. So we have to look at the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at, it's like this. When you look at past lives, and you look at two particular past lives that come up for you, it's the ideal, the relationship that you were in, not the ideal that you ran away from, of wishing they could have been different. The first one comes up as 1845, and the ideal of being with a guy and thinking, I actually pick up a guy with a top hat, very wealthy guy, he's very old, you're very young. Looking at the situation, it seemed pretty good at the time. And then the ideal of being together for about 5 years and trying to figure out how to get out of the situation because the guy was very controlling.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You just hit the nail on the head with that.
I just think it's like we were talking about before, if you listen to the beginning of the show, when we were talking about what you need to focus on is exactly what you and only you desire. And everybody else will take care of themselves. If you look at past lives, the reason past lives have a tendency to be interference because back in those days, position was a big thing. Everybody had their position. Everybody did what they were supposed to do, which was pretty much keeping yourself in a box. And now you're in a situation in a different time zone where you can actually pretty much do what you want. But those things keep sticking to you saying, well, if I do what I want, maybe I'll wind up with nothing. When actually it's not true. It's actually that you will get exactly what you want. But it's also the idea of, we focus on people a lot, okay? That's what we do. But also the idea of trying to get people to focus on themselves, because we've been taught, probably since the time we were little, that focusing on oneself is being selfish, when actually it's self-preservation. And the idea that if you don't know what you want, need, desire, and if you're actually making those assessments because of what the world tells you, the world is actually setting you up to fail. So you have those thoughts in your head. That's why you run away from the relationship. Because of, you can see a lot of things around you, too, where you've actually seen failures. And those failures are stuck in your head.
Yeah.
So that has a tendency to tap into past life memories. And so remember this one situation you put yourself into? It wasn't quite what you thought it was, and you couldn't get out of it. Not realizing that was then. This is now. And you have some... Are you in a relationship now? I'm trying to figure out if you are or not.
No, I understand probably why you can't figure it out. It's because this person is just in and out, and I'm finally at a point where I'm just exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember one thing. You're exhausting yourself because you need to allow yourself to look at the situation and go, okay, anything that keeps getting in a position being off and on, okay, is a person who's having... I just look at it like this. It's just a person who doesn't know what he wants. Okay? So what you do is you look at the situation, look at the situation of the person who keeps going back and forth, who acts like he doesn't know what he wants. How does that reflect back at you about yourself? Maybe it reflects back and forth. It's because the reason you're kind of confused is because you do know what you want. And you need to look at the situation for what it is and realize that since he doesn't, he can't be the one. Because if he was the one.
You're right.
Yeah. He'd be on the same page as you are. You would be having a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I feel
and
like...
And you're really getting... Good.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you're getting to a point in your life right now, the closer you get to 28, the more you know what you want, and you're tired of not getting it.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, you got to look at the situation, too. You're not doing anything wrong. You are just trying to figure a situation out, and one thing that hurts you the most here is the answers you think you're trying to obtain, he has, who refuses to give them to.
Yeah, and I feel like there was definitely a person who who I feel like now that I'm older might have been the one, but because this other person, we were on a break, I ran back to him just because I got scared, and I feel like that was the biggest mistake I ever made.
Yeah, you're focusing on the ideal thinking. You're missing out on something, and you need to go back because you didn't want to miss the opportunity. Then you get yourself back there, and the guy's still doing the same shit over and over again. You're just like, oh, my God, made a mistake. Did you really make a mistake? Or was it, I don't think mistakes happen. I think it's the idea you went back looking for a confirmation, which you got. Okay, so there was a person that you thought was the one. What happened to him?
About a year ago, we tried to, like, work it out again. But, I mean, he was just so scared that I was going to do what I did the last time that it just kind of fizzled out.
Well, usually when you look at the fear is blocking, not fizzling. So it's like the idea, we'll put it to you like this. Sometimes I get a kind of little belligerent and say, okay, the doofus that you were thinking about and the idea of being scared, the only way he's ever going to deal with that is to face that fear, not to run away from it. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm scared you're going to run away. Okay, therefore, we'll look at the situation clearly to say, okay, this person is thinking you're going to run away. So therefore, realistically, he doesn't trust himself. It has nothing to do with trusting you. Okay, because if you come back and you're very sincere, he's allowing this fear to block his intuitional feelings and his connection to you, to see you for who you are, that he would know that you're not going to do that again because you've already got your confirmation. And now he needs to open himself up to see his too as well. Because I feel like when you look at the situation, I feel like there's still a good chance. Okay? But I also feel like, too.
So. He is dating someone,
let's put it to you like this. Doesn't mean he couldn't be the person in the future, but the one thing you need to do right now is clear all the clutter out of your life right now.
Yeah, I feel like the best thing is to get rid of this person because he's blocking all the good things.
Yeah, you've already seen that. I'm just saying with the situation, it's just time to clear the clutter. Even the guy you thought that was the one, just cut all connections to everybody because he's seeing somebody else. And it's kind of funny, but the realistic part about this whole thing is when you cut the cords and you just release everything, those are usually when you get the outcome of what's going to really happen. And if you keep hanging on to a situation, a lot of people don't understand the idea. Ooh, I can feel this person all the time. He's got all these feelings, and I can feel like he's not in a good relationship. Who really cares? It's not your job.
Exactly. It's not you.
It's not your job to figure the man out. It's not your, he's in a bad relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in that bad relationship to learn what he had with you. If you don't let it go and start living your life and just forget all about it.
Exactly.
People think I think it's funny how people think if you forget all about it, it won't happen, not realizing actually the opposite is true. Because the more you start living your life, if you sit and think about the person you're talking about, well, these people who came into your life, the reason they came into your life, it's not the idea, ooh, I wasn't expecting it. No, you're living your life. And they became a part of it.
Yeah.
The reason we're having all these infractions right now because we're thinking about if we lose these people, there's going to be an empty space in their lives when there never was an empty space in the first place. This was just a person who we started sharing our lives with, but we had to have one first. We had to be living our lives to share this life together. So therefore, more you start living your life, the more you want to
person, do. Like, I was really happy with my career. Like, I was, it was just a total, now
so what you
total
do is you
180.
Go back to, I'm just saying, you go back to enjoying your life again.
Yeah.
And just allow, it's like the ideal, enjoy your life, do what you got to do, have a great time. And then the positive people, or even the positive one, will come back in your life, which will actually give you the insights to see these other people for who they are, if they're actually the ones that are supposed to be that whole thing. Because, I mean, the guy will sit there and say, I'm very fearful that you might do it again. Okay, well, you don't sit there and go, I don't want to do this because I'm going to just be setting myself up. That's a person who's not looking at the situation realistically because he's still making decisions because of his fears. Every time you make a decision in the face of fear or feel like you have to do a certain way, you're making the wrong decision in the wrong direction. It's always, you look at the situation, what do you really want to do? Well, I love this person and see what happens. That's positive, and usually have positive outcomes. If you look at people who get into relationships and they feel like they have to, or I don't want to be alone, I don't want to do these things. I feel like I got to do this or I'm going to miss out on this whole thing. Those are all decisions made in fear because they feel like they have to do it. When you're in a relationship, you're not in a relationship because you have to. It's just that you've come to a point in your life where you want to share your life with somebody. It's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
I'm just
totally
saying,
allow
things to happen, that kind of stuff. Yeah, just allow it to happen, that kind of stuff. And then just these situations, opportunities will present themselves for who it really is. I mean, I'm just saying, don't be surprised if it's totally somebody different. Because sometimes we do have a tendency when we change our own lives and we change our own perceptions, we start focusing on more positive things, we start attracting another positive person that we can share our lives with, which is usually the one, more likely. And then we start seeing these other people going, what were they thinking? Maybe it was just a lack of thinking, you know, looking at the situation for what they are. Or we've done this before when we see people and we tell ourselves, oh, I have to have this, which means you're not allowing it to happen. You're trying to manipulate the situation because of your own internal fears. I'm just saying, you know, when you look at these situations, just kind of take a look within yourself and see if you have some of those fears in there. Because I actually work with people all the time to say, just work on getting rid of those insecurities and fears now, which actually makes the relationship that you really want come into your life quicker. Plus, you're also able to embrace it more, too. So there's too much thinking going on. Relationships are supposed to be spontaneously loving each other because we already love ourselves. That's why it's so important to actually get ourselves in a very good place, which means if you focus on what you love to do, the career you really want to do, you have a tendency to attract people you really love to hang out with, and that kind of stuff. So therefore, you found your life purpose, and if you actually be patient enough, more likely your life partner will be a part of that too as well. Life, I mean, think about it. Life purpose, life partner.
Yeah.
We just have a tendency to push it too quickly. I've seen a lot of people who actually find them. I'm going to college now, so I can't really think about it, a relationship. Yeah, you can, because you just attracted one. So appreciate
that's so
what you
true.
Just attracted. Do you have any questions? I'm sorry, sweetie.
Do you just see things positive? That's all I want to know. Just like coming up, not even with relationships, just everything, just in a better light.
Actually, I see you focusing on your life and focusing on what you really want to do with your career and that kind of stuff. And I see a lot of positive things coming out of that.
Perfect. Thank you.
And actually, yeah, it's one of those things you probably see all major changes in a positive way before the summer is even over.
Sorry, can you just repeat that last part?
I said you'll probably see all these positive changes happening way before the summer's over with, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks for, you know, donating your time and helping everyone out.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
If you need more help, you know, contact me for a private session, or if you have any more questions, just come back to the show.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye now. All right. Let's go to area code 646. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi. My name is Kayla from New York.
You're Carolyn, you say?
Kayla.
Kayla.
From New York.
From New York. Okay. So how are you today?
I'm good. How are you? I'm calling because I wanted to know about Sean. I know he cares about me. However, I want to share more of my feelings with him, but I'm a cautious person, so I don't know. I just wanted to know what you picked up.
Well, the first thing that comes to me is the idea of getting over the cautiousness and the idea of expressing your feelings.
I'm sorry?
Because I feel like the idea of getting over your cautiousness and actually expressing your feelings to him, for some reason I feel like that actually might actually open him up some more.
Really?
So how long, let me ask you a question, when's your birthday?
It's August 30th, 1973.
August?
30th.
August 30th, 1973. 73.
Yeah, 73.
It seems, okay, so that's your Virgo.
Yeah, that's me.
So, how long have you known Sean?
11 months. The 11th made 11 months.
Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know when Sean's birthday is?
Yes, 10/25/77.
10/25?
Yes, 10/25/77.
77.
That's correct.
There's a lot of interference.
I'm sorry?
There's a lot of interference.
Oh.
I get the impression he's a Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
I also get a lot of combination. A lot of combinations from other signs that influence him too as well. That's the idea of being a Libra, Scorpio, and also for some reason a Taurus in there, because it seems like he can actually be a little bit stubborn with his ways. Are you actually in the process of trying to want him to open up more to you?
Come again?
Do you want him to open up and express his feelings more to you?
Yes, he started to, and he does it slowly, but I feel like he opens up and then he kind of shuts down. He opens up and then he shuts down. So I don't push it, but there are times where I feel like he wants to say something, but he doesn't say it.
So what you do is you back off and don't push the situation?
I don't. I'll leave it alone.
Hmm. Well, when I look at the situation, the reason I was saying I feel like the cautiousness needs to go and the idea of opening up and expressing yourself more, because I feel like he would too. I also feel like the situation needs to be where there has to be a conversation after the fact and somebody closing off and the idea of asking why. Because it's like... It's just too easy for him to actually hide out when someone should be calling him on his bluff and saying, okay, why can't you say those things? I do all the time. I have a girlfriend and we're really good friends. And it seems like our friendship actually has a tendency to get even better in the idea of asking those questions and say, okay, I just said something to you and you diverted the whole thing. Diversion, people divert things for a reason. And humans do not get defensive and do not try to deny things that don't exist. So therefore, if you didn't want to sit there and express yourself, by him diverting the whole thing, usually confirms his feelings as deep as yours.
It confirms what? I'm
that
sorry?
They are the same as yours. They're the same as yours. Because in a situation like this, coming from the guy's point of view, he doesn't really shut off. He goes inwards.
Oh. So he's not shutting down. He's just going within.
He's just going within. But most people are concerned, okay, he's not really talking to me, so he's shut down. No, he's not. He's internalizing the whole thing. Which means, why is he internalizing the whole thing? Because he's looking at the idea of how he feels. Should I actually express it because of past experiences where he never got that back in return? Well, he's actually thought that means that he's less worthy, when actually it was just a person that couldn't give him back what he was giving, which means he was. So that's what I was saying. Because I've actually asked the questions myself. I had a girlfriend who was always telling me, I don't know how I feel. I said, well, you must know how you feel because we wouldn't be sitting talking. That's how the universe works. It brings people together who do know what they want. So it's the idea of calling and saying, okay, you do know what you want, so how do you feel? And then she would divert it by saying, well, I see us as friends. I said, I'm sorry. Did I ask you what you saw? No, I asked how you feel. That's what I want to know.
Right.
So I feel like
right.
So she would sit there and look at me. She goes, I think it's me to you to push me in the situation. I said, I think it's me to you to hold back something that you actually do feel. And people might think it's crazy, but see, there's a conversation going on. So we're actually communicating, maybe not in the way I'd like to, but the communication is starting. Well, she actually came back later on, and she would talk to me. So there is conversations
that's
after being blunt.
That's true. There is. And
I know he cares. Like, I feel that he expresses that. He shares it with me. So I don't question that. But I still feel like he's a little hesitant because of the situation he was in. You know, he was in a relationship for 10 years, and I was in one for 4.5 years. So just wanted to know what you're picking up outside of what I just shared with you.
I'm just saying, well, I pick up these situations. I tell people like I always tell them. And some of them, my guys and angels will say the same thing. Right now, at this time in your life, the relationships that you were in no longer exist. So it's the idea of trying to look at the situation right now like you've never been in a relationship before in your life. Because realistically, this moment is the only thing that exists, and that's actually the truth. You've never been in a relationship before. It's like what I'm saying to you is, it's the idea of letting it's like looking at the situation right now as in what's happening at this moment, to realize all the relationships you've ever been in no longer exist. So therefore, the only situation that's going on is the one you got now. So it's the first, it's like the first and the only relationship you've ever been in at this moment. Because this is the only one that actually does exist. It's like looking at both people and say, I wish they could just forget the whole thing and where they came from because it doesn't exist anymore and it's just an excuse not to go forward. You can't sit there and go, okay, I want something different in my life. I want a different relationship than I've ever had before. I don't want that ever again. And then try to go back and use that past relationship as an example to figure out what's going on, because that's going to confuse you, because you just basically, with your intentions, have manifested a totally different relationship. So that means you need to focus on each other. Well, actually, first and foremost, focus on yourselves and make sure this is exactly what you want. And then look at each other and go, hey, you know something? If we don't embrace this, we created this. If we don't embrace this, we're disrespecting ourselves. And that's exactly what he's doing. Every time he goes within himself, he's disrespecting you because he doesn't trust what he's already basically created and basically attracted with his intentions. So it's actually a lack of faith within himself, not you. And you should never take it that way. That's why I said you should be more blunt with him and say, hey, you know something? We're together for a reason, because you wanted this as much as I wanted this. So just embrace it. I mean, if it's something you can't say right away.
I'm sorry?
If it's something you can't say right away, then wait till you feel more confident, but definitely say it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, thank you, thank you. What I was going to share with you is I care for him deeply. I mean, I love him. I do love him.
Mm-hmm.
Come again?
How could you not love him? That's who you are.
Hello, exactly. I do, and I want to, I share it with him, but I don't see it, but I do share it. I do share it with him.
What'd you say? Give us some time, and I get the impression the sharing that you want realistically has become mutual. I'd like to know what happened to my co-host.
You have a co-host?
Sorry. She disappeared. She disappeared.
No.
I don't know. She's actually on the streets and actually walking and talking to people as we're doing it. She's on a remote. That's why I was kind of concerned, because she disappeared.
I wanted to ask you, do you see other women around him besides his former girlfriend / mother of his child, 2 children?
I wish he would get a little more stern with his boundaries of who people he lives in and not.
I'm sorry?
I said I wish he would be a little more strict with the boundaries within his own life to realize certain things he doesn't have to do, and the idea of still being a father. It's one of the things I had to learn too, to realize that, like most people sit and say, well, hey, you know, you have to interact with your ex because you have children together, and I found out later on you don't. It's the idea of finding a neutral place.
Exactly, and that's what I feel, because they're on the terms that they're on is kind of estranged, and it's difficult for him because he loves his children. So,
What I did was I made a neutral place with my mother, and that's why I got to see my kids, so I didn't have to deal with my ex-wife. But I still saw my kids. And I still had fun with them. Boundaries.
Exactly. And I'm all about the boundary. So, what about Blair?
Say that one more time.
What about Blair? Blair.
Now, who's Blair?
She's a friend of mine.
Say one more time.
Blair. We're friends.
So you're, okay. For some reason, it's like this interference. Okay, so
no,
would you say that Blair's a
Blair,
friend of yours?
Yes. Yes.
So you want to know if Blair is actually potential for a relationship?
No, I'm sorry. The energy I'm picking up from her is sometimes I think she's jealous of me, or it's a two-faced situation. I don't know. It's something I'm feeling, but I can't prove it, especially when it comes to relationships, even though she's married. I don't know. I feel like she may have an eye on him.
Oh. Actually, what comes to me is just the idea of focusing on exactly what you want. This may sound crazy, but when you start focusing on exactly what you want, who you want to be with, the whole thing else, everything else has to be basically phased out in favor of it. So, but most people don't realize when you start focusing on certain things as in a negative way, they have a tendency to divert you from what you're actually focusing on, which works against you. I've had a lot of people sit and go, well, how can I get rid of the negativity? Start taking your energy and focusing on the positive things that you really want to happen, and the universe has a tendency to phase those out because they no longer get the energy. And some, a lot of things I've seen with people with relationships where they feel like somebody else has got an eye on the freaking thing, and they start focusing on that. The more you focus on it, the more your energy you give it to it, the more likely it's going to happen.
Okay.
So if you start
focusing on
the idea of the person you want, so if you focus on the person you really want to be with, and that's all you can visualize in your mind, that's what's going to happen.
I'm just
saying also, the other thing I'd like to be able to stress on things, if you're focusing constantly on something and it still doesn't happen, it's just one of those realizations that maybe it was never meant to happen, so this person can't be the one, which means he still exists. Now, me personally, when I look at the situation, I feel like if you focus on this, you'll get it. Just don't let anything else in there.
Exactly. And that's how I feel. So, one more question. Do you see us living together?
I was going to say, do I have to see that? Anyway.
I'm sorry?
Oh, no. The idea of seeing two people live together just brings back my own expectations of wanting to be with somebody too as well. So I was just joking around going, do I have to see that? Because I can actually see that. I just feel like if you maintain that focus we're talking about, it will actually turn out the ideal of actually two people, living together. But also, when you sit here, before you go and actually, I feel like it's going to come to that point, I just feel like it's also one of those things you have to have a discussion exactly why you're living together and what the outcome is going to be. Because I've seen too many couples that go into a living together arrangement, the guy's thinking, okay, this is great, I don't have to get married. The woman's thinking, if I stick it out long enough, I'll get married. And they just haven't really talked about it. So they have a tendency to end up, they actually end up really not liking each other, not realizing they never had the discussion. There was never a boundary made on what they were going to do. So they never got what they wanted because they never asked for it. That's what I'm saying. But most people who have to go and say, okay, we want to live together because we want to start our lives together now. That's actually making a point, making a declaration, what we want to do. We have all intentions, and when it's over with, the potential of getting married and all this kind of stuff is all out on the table, so no one has to sit there and just assume anything. It's all done and over. So if someone decides they don't want to get married and have the whole thing, it's already been discussed. See, I've only had too many situations, okay? There was one particular that used to irritate me because the guy was sitting there going, they got together, and the idea of the benefits of being friends with benefits, okay? 6 months later, feelings became stronger, they both had the same feelings. I just knew for a fact they did, and she did too. Well, he comes back and says, you remember when we first got together? It's just friends with benefits. I said, you tell that asshole for me that he's going back to 6 months, which means he's not looking at what's going on right now, which means it proves to me that it is what she feels it's going to be. And that's the whole thing I'm saying. You can't figure them out, but you do have to do one thing. If you feel it, it's more likely true. You have to look at the situation of a person and go, okay, I know this person loves me. Why is he not expressing it? Who cares? He's not expressing it. So sometimes you have to sit there and walk away from situations just because of the respect for yourself and say, okay, I'm giving freely. This person is not giving freely. He's questioning it the whole time. So therefore, that's disrespectful. He should be able to see you for who you are, which means he doesn't see himself for the potential of deserving a relationship. And that's what this guy did. This guy was constantly going back. Remember 6 months ago, friends with benefits, and she's like, no. And he was like, oh, we had an agreement. Okay, 6 months ago, yes, you did have an agreement 6 months ago. But right now, it's called renegotiation. And that's what she wants. She wants that conversation to talk now. See, he's going back to 6 months ago, which means that's what he's using as his defense. And why is he defensive? If he doesn't have feelings for her, he wouldn't be defensive. See, people don't get defensive over things that don't exist. So therefore, it does exist. Okay? I'm just saying, focus on the whole situation. Take her for what it is. When a person comes up to you and says, hey, I don't know what I want, it's for your job to say, yes, you do. Because we're talking. We're looking each other eye to eye. And things like that don't happen. The universe does not bring people who don't want to be together.
So, in saying all this, I'm listening to everything you're saying to me. I feel like I back off, but sometimes I think maybe I back off too much.
Yeah, I always tell people, too, in relationship counseling, never back off unless you're asked to. Because if you back off and you misread the whole thing, he's going to look at you and go, well, she's backing off. I guess she doesn't want this either. And then he backs off. The next thing you guys know, you're in different states. That's what I would say. You know, when you look at the situation, don't assume that someone wants you to back off. I think that's also part of the communication. The person sits there and say, hey, this is getting too crazy for me. We just need to take some time. Until he says that, don't give it to him. Because it hasn't been established. So he can't sit there and say, well, you should have knew that. No, you should tell me that. That's what we call communication. Not assumptions. I mean, relationships were never meant to be charades. We have to figure it out. Hey, it's three syllables. Can you figure it out? Yeah, you're a nut. Anyway. I'm just saying, I don't do that anymore. People say, well, maybe you should give this person space because they're going through a hard time. I said, maybe they should face their fears. What do people run away
Thank
from?
You.
They run away from themselves because of the fears they're refusing to face. This person attracted you into his life to actually face the fears that he actually acquired along the way, which keeps him from having a great relationship. So therefore, he has chosen you because he cares about you and loves you, because he feels like being with you, he can also face those fears and have a great relationship. How come he's not accepting that now? Because that's what I'm saying. He sits there and ponders. That's what I call ponder. And goes back and starts internalizing it. That's what he's doing.
Yes. And I'm like, stop doing that. I don't say that, but I'm like, well, what's going on? Where are we? Like, how do you feel? Like, this is the conversation as of recent.
And I was also sitting, when you look at the situation of having conversations, I was sitting in a bar one night, and I was telling my friend, and I started talking about certain intentions and relationship-wise stuff, and all of a sudden she diverts it and goes right to her phone and starts texting somebody else. It wasn't until somebody else asked her, why do you do that? Where she diverted it. Somebody else saw it, not just me. Somebody else saw it. And then you get a different person who looks at the situations and realizes, okay, you think you're following me, but somebody just called you out. It wasn't me. So therefore, I want you to think about what just happened because someone else saw it, not just me. So you can't look at me and say, well, maybe you're just too close to the situation. Here's a person who you just met 2 days ago who just saw what I saw. So sometimes it's great to have your friends, find a friend who can actually sit there and have no problem verbalizing things that they see too. Because once they start seeing it outside the relationship that somebody else saw it too, then they have a tendency to start treating you a different way, realizing you're seeing everything. You're just being more kinder to me, giving me the space I deserve. But then again, that's not being good to you because I'm actually taking that time away from what we're actually having here, which is actually, it's like most people don't realize, you don't have to sit there and say, okay, we're in a relationship. Just declare it. No, relationships already happen.
Yes, and I agree with you.
You love me. You love me. You know you do. I love looking at people saying that, you know, you love me. I can see it. And then look at their faces. If they blush, you just call it that one, right? Or if they just try to not let you see how they feel or see the expression on their faces, why would they hide something that doesn't exist? I've actually done it with my friend a couple of times. I can see, but she never sits there and tells me to stop doing it. She just tells me to stop being so naughty or don't think, you know, don't go there. But she never tells me to stop doing it. So therefore, there must be something of a mutual situation.
Exactly. So that's the situation. Like, I just wanted to know your true feeling, what you're picking up from Sean.
I get the impression it's real.
Come again?
I get the impression what's going on between the two of you is actually happening. I just would not give him any space. Okay? It's like the ideal that I've done the same thing with girlfriends who have a tendency to let their family rule their lives, not realizing they were never meant there to rule, if anything, you know, like father, mother, and that kind of stuff. If you're already adult, it's for her to come up with the idea of dealing with that situation on adult level, which means we have to have mutual respect between us because, yes, I'm your daughter, I'm your son, but I'm also an adult. So I'm no longer that 13 or 14-year-old that you can actually say, well, this is what, you have to do this. It's the idea of Sarah's thinking, well, when I have made a decision and I'm doing what I'm doing, it's the idea of just being supportive. Not sitting and trying to tell me I'm doing the wrong thing. It's the idea, I've already made a decision, and I've never asked you. That's the point. We're looking at friends and family and stuff like that. When you don't ask for help, when you're not asking for advice and they keep pushing it at you, that's disrespectful because you've never asked for it.
And if
it's a situation that's actually been done where they feel like they have to do this, there's some kind of fear in there. Well, they're thinking that you're making the wrong decision, so they have to push it. That's their own insecurity. For example,
that's
the girl. That's their problem. Their insecurities are coming out by pushing things at you. Like, for example, if you say that you're a very physical lover, and your boyfriend says, "Well, I think that's kind of weird," and there's something wrong with that. Realistically, he's got the problem because you're just being who you are. Which also reflects back to you that he's not. That you should also take something that'll say. It's like your parents, too, when they start pushing things at you. And they start doing all this kind of stuff. It kind of makes you question who they really are, too.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't care as much as you think you do.
It's a matter of the conversation, and I love to have clarity. I love to share, especially when I am with someone that I really care about. So, you know, I would look at the comparison of when we first met within the past 6 months, and then now, you know, it's still growing, but I'm like, come on, what's going on?
Well, it's the idea of looking at the ideal excuses. There are no excuses that are acceptable because excuses are just things that people conjure up and the idea of keeping them from where they really want to be at.
The excuses, I'm sorry? They don't really want to do that?
Don't you love connection? Yeah. Anyway, what I said was, what did I say? Oh, I said that there's no excuses that are acceptable because people conjure up excuses to keep them from where they really want to be at.
Mm.
That's all excuses are. People are scared to go there, so they come up with excuses why not to go there. So if you sit there and call them on their excuses, call the bluff, then they stop using excuses and realizing you already see it for what it is. So they might as well just admit it too. That's the great thing about conversations and communication. Say, okay, guys, snap at it, okay? Come on, let me think about this, sweetie. You already know what you want. You already see it for what it is. You're just tired of people not seeing it too.
Yes. Yes. And I'm there for him. He knows that. He sees that. And I'm just like, come on, just stop with the snap. Let's go. Let's move forward.
Yeah. Exactly. After a while, we get tired of it too. Saying, okay, fine, go swimming. I'm leaving.
Come again?
I have a tendency to do the same thing with people going, okay, after a while, I tend to be going, they say, well, you should give me as much time as I want. Not really. Then it puts me in the category of actually being an enabler. I'm allowing you to keep doing the same thing because you haven't made any progress. Because if you did, then we'd be further apart. I mean, not further apart, but what I'm saying is that we'd be further along in the situation because you're looking at the situation all the potential that you want to experience. And then he's sitting there going, I'm kind of questioning the experience part. When actually you know for a fact if he experienced it, he'd enjoy it as much as you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way I'm just saying that's what my friend is. I look at her and I'm going, I guarantee you if you just take a leap of faith and just really experience the whole thing, you won't want to go back. Maybe that's what you're scared of. Maybe you're scared it will work out because it would actually explain to you why you keep attracting relationships that don't. It's a fear.
Mm-hmm.
We attract, like I'm fearful of relationships that might not work out. So I'll attract this person into my life to prove my point. And then you want to complain about it because you didn't get the relationship you wanted, but you didn't really clarify that either because you're allowing that fear within yourself to make that decision for you. And I sit here and look at him going, why don't you do this? Make your mind up of what you really want to do with this relationship, which is actually right there. You can't deny it. Neither you do, you shouldn't. But the one thing you have to realize, too, if you don't embrace the relationship, it's like looking at somebody going, I'm going to be in a relationship. I know it. I can feel it. But you don't want to put yourself in a position where you wish you would have made the decision to be that person when I had to make a choice and go somewhere else. It's not my fault. I'm ready for a relationship. You're questioning it. So therefore, you keep questioning it. You're creating that distance between the two. So if someone's going to make a decision, what's good for them, which that's what I'm saying. You make a decision, go, okay, I'm sorry, but the idea of sitting out here going, wait, I read my list of desires of what I want in a relationship, and there's no waiting on there. It all says this, this, and this, and this. So therefore, I definitely know what I want. So you're sitting there telling me that maybe I should redo the whole thing when actually you're telling me about what you should be doing yourself. Reevaluate and look at what you've just created. So either make your mind up now or regret it later on when you sit there and look at me going, that could have been me, but I procrastinated too long. And that's what people do. They make decisions what's best for them. And after you go through a period of time after a while saying, this is getting to a point where now it hurts and I don't want to do that because if I keep this up and keep doing this, I'm just disrespecting myself because I'm allowing you to keep doing that to me. Because that's what it is, it's disrespect. If they can't see it for what it is, which is pretty obvious, you don't hide anything from this guy, so there's no reason why he can't see it.
He does see it.
I still feel like it's going to be a good thing, so just, give it some time and relax. I'm just saying, when you get to a point where you're just, okay, I've done this the other day. It was kind of crazy. People thought I was acting too quickly on the whole thing, okay? But I had a person I was talking to on Skype. I came in one day, and I noticed that she wrote this little note. She goes, I guess either you're not on your computer or at your computer or something, but I've said hi to you 5 times. And then she took me off her contact list. Now, when we look at the situation, this is a person who likes drama. Because what they did is they took me off their contact list to see if I'm really interested in them, which means they're not trusting the connection between the two of us, which they should already know that. She also knows what I do for a living, and I go back and forth between the shop, working on the computer, doing the radio show and that kind of stuff, where I'm constantly doing things. My computer's always on. So if I don't answer you, more likely I'm not here.
Hello? Exactly.
If I'm sitting here with a migraine, I'm not going to talk to you. And actually, I'm being really respectful to you that I know how I can be with a migraine. So I don't want to put that. I don't want to project that on you. So I don't answer you. But this person was very insecure about something where she felt like she needed to manipulate me into a response. And I'm sorry. I am not. I sit and told myself, no more drama in my life. So therefore, to have the respect for what I've already declared, I had to sit there and cut her loose and say, you know, no. I can almost see this is going to be a dramatic situation, which I've already told myself, no more dramatic situations. My friend was sitting there saying, well, maybe you're there to help her learn. Yes. And I'm hoping she learns from the situation. If you play games, people don't, and they'll sit there and cut you out quick. So that's the learning experience. So therefore, people say, well, it's probably not a relationship because you're too hasty. No, I'm in a relationship because I know what I want. And maybe the idea of the person just hasn't come across my path, or it's somebody else who needs to look at what just happened too and make a mud themselves. Which I was actually talking to my friend about that, and she was like, okay, I get that. And then she diverted the whole situation again. I said, okay, that just confirms me. I would wait for her because we already have a great friendship. Just because she doesn't want to admit her feelings and how deep they are doesn't mean anything. It was a friendship we already established. The other person I was talking about, I actually cut off. I was trying to establish a friendship. But when she started doing the dramatic thing, you can almost see that you really can't have a good friendship either. Because she can't accept me. And that's what was on. I'm asking the friend I have now. I understand who she is. I know why she does what she does, and I know where she came from. So we respect the whole thing. And the friendship works. Because I tell all the time, there's sometimes you just don't show up. But then again, that's who you are. And I understand that point of view. Some people...
And that's fair. That's fair.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those situations where you're not going to show up, and then when you do show up, it's a surprise. I love it. I love surprises. Oh, you showed up.
Are you an Aries?
Huh?
Are you an Aries? I'm sorry?
Aries?
Yes.
No, I was trying to figure out because it blurred. It was like fuzzy, so I didn't really hear the whole thing.
Aries, I'm sorry. Are you an Aries? So basically, thank you so much. I'm not gonna push the situation. I'm gonna give it some time.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you see this? Like, when, what time frame do you see us coming together? I mean, we're all together anyway, but solidifying it more.
I'll give that to you, man. I get the idea of I get the impression the kind of what you want could actually happen before the end of the summer. Did you hear that?
Yes, we did. Before my birthday or around my birthday?
Actually, what comes to me is around your birthday. So yeah, you might see some really positive things before your birthday and after your birthday, but I don't really feel like on your birthday some major things. It's just the idea you'll be experiencing some positive things because of what happened before and then actually enjoy more afterwards, okay? I'm hoping that makes sense.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense because we met on the 11th of August. So it's coming up in a year.
11th are good, too.
Yes.
I like 11. Creation number.
Yes, I told him today. I said, you know, we met, of course, today, which is the 11th, and it makes 11 months. So I was like, 11-11.
Yes. It's almost like making a wish that came true, and therefore it happened 11-11, the ideal confirmation. I've always seen 11-11. Every time I say 11-11, I always say 11 or 111, make a wish.
Yes.
And then keep your mind very positive. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you for being so patient, also.
Oh, you're welcome. It was nice talking to you, and please call the radio show again, and love for you if you call me for a private session. It's like you're a very lovely person to talk to, and I'd love to do a reading for you.
Thank you. Do you have a number?
Yes, you can call me at
740-500-8863. Okay, 500-8863. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much. You're really special. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And you have a great weekend. Keep forgetting Thursday.
Thank you. I'll continue to listen.
Well, actually, we are out of time, and we're down.
Oh.
We're actually, right now, we've been talking. We've actually ended the show, and we're actually in recording mode. And actually, one thing, too. Every show is recorded, so if you miss something or you want to get some go back and hear something, go back in the archives and listen to the show again.
Well, now since we're going off the air, do you see something really special for my birthday? Because I'm turning a special number this year.
And what special number is that? Because it's only 8. It's like 8. It's the idea of looking at a situation and go, okay, what do you feel? And ask somebody what they think, how think that. Ask somebody, how old do you think I am? Okay, as long as it's younger. And that means that's what you're presenting, and that's what you're showing everybody. So that's what you should be living. I just went back. This might sound crazy. Some people might think this is lying. It's not lying. It's just living a manifestation I want to create. The ideal makes me feel better. That I actually went back and changed everything from how old I was and took 10 years off of it, because every time I would ask somebody, how old are you? You know, ask people, how old do you think I am? That's the number they were saying all the time. So therefore, I must be projecting that, so why not live it? That's what I'm saying. Age. I mean, I've actually done research on a lot of things with relationship counseling, and one thing that doesn't matter is past relationships and age. They have nothing to do with anything. And the more we take them out of it, the more successful we're going to be, and plus the better we feel about ourselves. Like if your boyfriend can forget your birthday, he did you a favor because he just reminds you you're getting older. Who wants to be reminded of that? Unless he can come to me and say, here's a birthday present, and you're getting younger every day. I can handle that. So I don't need to be reminded of something I already know, you know?
Exactly.
I can't tell you what it would be, but I can tell you something that I would actually be ready for a surprise.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And if your boyfriend doesn't give you anything that surprises you, call me up and I'll send you flowers.
I think he will. I think, you know, he surprised me last year and we just met each other, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, don't be surprised, because that's what I keep getting. There's a surprise that's coming. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I'm just saying, if I'm wrong, I owe you for it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be surprised if I don't, you know, if it doesn't happen, I would definitely follow through.
But, you know, we haven't called each other boyfriend, girlfriend. We're just together. Because he didn't do labels, and I'm like, I hate that.
Okay, but look at the situation. Labels have a tendency to be too restricting anyway. I always sit here and say, forget the word relationship and just say, we are two people that just have great moments together. And then if you get married, it's the ideal of taking it one step further, realizing that you don't change anything about yourself. That's what attracted to yourselves each other anyway. So you just sit here and go, okay, a moment is a moment is a moment. And then you look back and you realize you've had all these great moments together. And actually, it seems like when you take titles off, people don't have a tendency to focus so much on marriage. Because there's a lot of things I've seen before. I had a wife who thought that when you got married, you had to change everything. And she did, not realizing that throws everything off. Guys do the same thing. Make a good impression, give flowers, do all the kind of crazy stuff. I sit and tell them flat out, if you don't do that, that's not who you are, and you do it anyway, when you stop doing those things, she's going to lose faith in you because that's what she thinks you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit here and say, if you're going to give her flowers, be prepared to give her flowers for the rest of her life because that's what she's going to be expecting you to do because that's what she told her. What? Why couldn't she? I mean, what else is she going to figure out? The only thing she can see
That's
because
true.
Of what he presented. So therefore, if you don't give flowers, then don't give flowers. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's many, many ways to express how you care about somebody. I've actually seen people who are just content with a hug because the way that person hugs you, you can feel it. Because that's genuine.
Yes.
That's real.
Yes.
So I'm just a person who likes to give flowers and the whole bit. I'm just saying that's what we need. That's why we need to listen to our intuition, our psychic abilities, because if you have two guys that are coming and trying to get you, one guy wants you just for sex, the other guy really does care about you, they have a tendency to do the same thing, flowers, candies, and stuff, to get their objective. You have to listen to your intuition to know which one's genuine and which one's not. But it's also the idea of trusting yourself, too. Who do you really care about? Because more likely the guy who just wants to get you in bed, you really don't care about him. It might be a guy with the idea of... I actually talked to a girl the other day, and she was like, I don't understand why women are so attracted to the bad boy syndrome, because all you're going to get out of the whole thing is nothing. But if you actually go out and find someone genuine, it means you're being genuine to yourself. So you're always going to find someone genuine to give back. The people who don't are usually because of the lack of love for yourself. Like, I've seen this before. Women sit here and say, well, the guy doesn't love you enough. He can only love you as much as he can. When you sit here and ask the question, how come you haven't loved yourself enough today? Then it makes more sense. And then when you open up and love yourself even more, then people around you have a tendency to do the same thing, which is probably something within yourself, some kind of insecurity, something happened when you were younger, it's blocking you expressing yourself completely. So the person that you're with basically reflects that back. So therefore, if you take a notice and go, okay, I need to open up more. Or do some chanting with the idea of opening up your heart chakra more. That's what I do. My friend says, your heart's not open enough. So I found this chant, which is called, it's actually a H-A-W. No, I'm sorry. H-A-H, which is ah, but you put the H on it, it's ha. And then you let it resonate through your heart chakra, which just opens up your heart more. And it's like sometimes when people are closed off to you, if you do some work on yourself like that and open up your heart chakra even more, then they have a tendency to open up even more too. Because that's where your connection, when people talk about connection, that is where your connection's at. I always get very stressed with people too going, you have a connection with this person. So if you question it, you're just questioning yourself. And I said, that's ridiculous because realistically, let's say, for example, your ass is sitting on a bench. They're connected. But do you ask your ass every 5 minutes, are you still connected? No. You just trust me. You trust the chair. You trust everything about it. That's how we have to trust people. That's how we have to trust your relationship. Say, okay, there's a connection. We know it. And connections cannot be established unless it's connected on both ends. So therefore, it's the idea. It's like a power line. A power line has no electricity in it if it's only connected on one side. But once you connect it on both sides, that's what the connection between two people is all about. Once it's connected, that's where the energy is going through back and forth. But like I said before, it's like your ass. You have those that are ass here. Okay, ass, are you still attached to that bench? No, you just trust. You don't even think about it. So if we could just do the same thing with relationships and not think about them and just enjoy that chair, you know?
Exactly.
Or if that chair doesn't fit.
Exactly.
If you don't enjoy the chair, then find a chair that you do enjoy. It's just the ideal. And people might think that's kind of like, that's just too cut and dry and say, okay, well, you should be more considerate of people's feelings. Well, how about mine? Okay, if the person is not going to sit here and express my feelings I'm giving to this person unconditionally, who's really being disrespectful if you walk away? Realistically, you're just being respectful for yourself as that you tell yourself right from the mirror, I deserve to get back what I give because I'm giving unconditionally. That's not a hard thing to do. I don't like women who sit here and say, well, they keep giving, but they're not really giving. They're sitting here saying, I just gave you all this stuff, so you owe me. Nobody owes you anything. It's just,
exactly.
I understand the people who say, I'm loving this guy unconditionally. I would just like to have it back unconditionally as well. There's nothing wrong with asking that question. I'm just saying we have women who say, I just bought you all this stuff, I bought you a car, I did all this kind of stuff, so therefore you owe me love. That's still a person who is taking. She's not giving anything. She's taking because her objective is she's using materialistic things as a tool to get what she wants. So she's not looking at she's not looking at the situation, the person she's with. Maybe she'd give him a chance. He would give her unconditionally because she's not giving unconditionally. She's saying, I'm giving you all these things. There's a condition that I'm giving you. So you have to give me back something. And that's not how love works. That's why in the Bible it says, giving is more important than receiving, because that's where it starts. If you give nothing, you get nothing back. That's why giving is so important. But usually when there's going on, there has to be a balance between the two as well, too. So once you already get your relationship, the giving and receiving has to be mutual to keep the cycle going on. It's like, for example, okay, look at you. You're a circle. It represents you are loving yourself unconditionally. What's going to happen is, people don't realize is, the law of attraction says like attracts like. So if you love yourself unconditionally, what you're going to do is attract somebody else who's also loving them unconditionally, which means you both like each other. Then it's easy to love another. And then when you put those two circles together, guess what you get? The infinity symbol, which is that's how the love is going between the two of you. It's a continuing figure eight between the two of you. So there is no such thing as a two-way street. It's unconditionally going forever.
Unconditional.
Yeah, it's a continuous back and forth. The energy is going in a circle, which is connecting the both of you. So there's no, like I said before, there's not a two-way street. It's a continuous on and on, like the world. The planet keeps revolving, and that's exactly what your love is going to do. Keep revolving back and forth between the two of you. Then you start realizing it's probably kind of, since you are that kind of person, that is the kind of relationships you have with everybody. You're just an unconditionally loving person. People don't realize it starts with unconditionally loving yourself before you can unconditionally love somebody else.
That's
so we
true.
Have a lot of women who are sitting there going, how come he doesn't love me? So once you change the question and say, how come you don't love yourself? You're thinking about being with this person that's going to help you love yourself, not realizing you had to do that first. It's like with money, abundance, prosperity. When you sit and tell somebody, you have to have the focus that you already are abundant and prosperous before you can attract those situations to prove it to yourself.
That's true.
So,
but let me ask you one more question, and that's I don't mean to hold you up, but
I just started talking. I've been on the air for 2 hours. I've been on the air for almost 3 hours. So when I say I have to go, it's not the idea I have to go. It means the bathroom is calling me. So you go. No, I can answer you. I can answer one more question for you.
Okay, the question is this. On the 4th of July, his mother's side of the family had a barbecue. I haven't met his mother. I haven't met his children. And I know with the children, it takes time. So I'm not pressing that at all. But after the picnic, he didn't invite me there. So after the picnic, you will figure that like, we'd go watch the fireworks together. And he was like, I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm like, are you serious? And I'm a little pissed off about that.
I guess it's one of the situations I was talking before about setting boundaries.
Come again?
Now, when you talk about this guy, is this guy younger than you are or older?
He's younger. I gave you the birthday earlier, the Scorpio.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I'm just saying that I can understand a situation where you don't sit here and push the issues, but when it comes to certain situations like that, I would. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I try to get myself out of the situation and say, okay, I would never, it's like people say, let's go hang out, okay, let's go. Or my thing was, I remember this first person looked at me and said, okay, you're watching football, so I guess you don't want to go out and do something with me. I'm like, no. I say, well, you got plans. Let's go. Football can be recorded. But it's no excuse not to spend quality time with somebody you love. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much of a football fan you are or whatever. Huh?
Exactly. Well, he never said love. He says he cares. He never said love yet. So I think it's fair.
Yeah.
He just hasn't said it.
I think it's a lot more. But I'm just saying with the situation, it's like that. I mean, I'm sorry, but maybe people will disagree with me, but I think family and friends in a relationship have to take a step back on the back burner. It's not the idea of disrespecting them, but it's the idea of also told my friends, when I'm in a relationship, my person that I'm with is the number one focus in my life, because that's going to be the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. So it's perfectly normal to have those kind of reflections when people say, well, she's taking you away from your friends. I said, no, it's me making a decision that you guys are important And I try to keep everybody pretty much on the same scale. But when I have certain friends who keep saying that and start focusing on they're not getting enough attention, then they have a problem. When I sit and tell you that you are my significant person, my one and only, I'm willing to prove it. And I always ask them, are you? And people kind of look at that. It's like an old-fashioned thing. But you know something? Realistically, if you look at the world right now, old-fashioned works. Modern times.
Yes. Work. Yes. The old-fashioned works. And that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, I was taken aback, so I just pulled back from him, and I didn't pick up his calls. And then I was like, okay, I'll pick up the calls, but I was upset. At least after the picnic, let's go to see the fireworks, and they come on. But,
exactly.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'd rather hang out with a girlfriend than hang out with my friends. Because I think there's time and place for everything.
Exactly.
If I'm
it's 4th of July, it's a major holiday.
If I'm at the fireworks with my girlfriend and I look at her and say, I want to hang out with my friend, I think it's the most disrespectful thing you could say because you're there with her.
Well, I wasn't with him at all. I wasn't with him at all.
I understand that point of view. I'm just saying, when you look at the whole thing, it was like a discussion or a communication between the two of you. Where it was the idea of expressing what he wanted to do. In a situation in a relationship, okay, great, but I think there's some things that have to change in the process of how people look at those things, of thinking you're always going to be constantly understanding that he can hang out and do whatever he wants. Okay, I get the point. This, I have a respect for that. But at the same time, also have the respect that if you're with somebody, then you're with somebody. And I think in some situations, maybe it's just me, that we usually look for ways to spend more time with our girlfriends, things like that. Did you ever look at someone's tombstone where it said I should have spent more time with my friends? Most people regret spending more time with she said, yeah.
Yeah, and then he tried to backpedal it a few days after I finally picked up the phone. I'm like, it's a major holiday.
I kind of have a tough time with people who start trying to justify things and say, well, it wasn't this, which means in their mind, I think they know better. I think they also identify more with you. They're just trying to justify their action.
I know.
And there's no justification for it.
Yeah, and I'm going to let them have it tonight. I mean, tomorrow and, well, later on today.
I got you.
Yeah. But thank you. I don't want to hold you up. I know you have to end the show. So thank you again. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye. I hate when he's button. There we go. Okay. Well, let's see. Oh, come on. Love the freaking questions and that kind of stuff. I want to sit here and thank everybody for showing up. I don't know what happened to Heather, but I think I want to find out. Anyway, thank you for all being here. Thank you for the callers. Thank you for the people listening and everything else goes on. Like we always say it every time at the end of every show, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Tuesday. And we will definitely be here. So y'all have a good one. Bye-bye now, and ciao.